And if you look at the infection case, the infection fatality rate, not the case fatality rate, where you get a diagnosis, you take the symptomatics and the asymptomatics and put it together, the statistic that was published in May was less than influenza.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to go over really focusing on the COVID illusion from all of its angles, or for three of the most important angles, which will be excess deaths, which will be the case death definition, as well as the PCR test cycle threshold, and why all of those are obviously being used in a way to deceive you, and how a lot of very intelligent, very respected, highly educated people are screaming about why that's happening. And we're going to go over that today. We're going to talk about what I just decided to call the MAGA straw man, which everybody will know what that means, in regard to how this is being played following the inauguration. And I really want the Trump supporters out there to take a minute and realize where we are right now and recognize that someone like me, not someone none of the two-party illusionists, but someone like me has always been fighting for you, whether you realized it or not, whether you were being fooled at the time or not. I have always been fighting for you. So the point is, we need to realize that there are people like us out there as a community, and whether Trump supporters or, you know, whoever, one side or the other, people who are waking up to the two-party illusion should realize what we're trying to accomplish here and help join forces in order to fight the problem, which is the government. And not just to say government bad as an arbitrary concept, but what our government is doing is bad, very clearly. And they don't care about what we think and what we want and how we live our lives. That's all been made very clear. So when we go over that first part in regard to the MAGA straw man, I want them to realize how they're being used. Even some of the actions they think they may want to take right now and may think are the right thing to do are actions that are being orchestrated that they want them to take in order to be used. The same way that Whitney points out, and we've talked about before, that they create the very terrorism overseas they use to then justify their presence. That's happening here right now. We're also going to talk about a very interesting study, or not a study, excuse me, but a discussion, an accusation rather, coming from the Helsinki Committee, claiming that Israel, of all people, is committing, or rather, let's be specific, that Pfizer, with the Israeli government within Israel, is committing what they're calling a human experiment. And it's not that shocking because it's exactly the same thing that's happening here and everywhere else, but they're just calling it out in Israel specifically because of their, you know, what do you call it, their jurisdiction, if you will. But it's really important to realize that that is what is happening, that we are still inside of a test that's happening, and they don't want you to think about that. We'll go over all of that today and plenty more, but let's start off with a couple of quick points. James Corbett is now being censored. As we've talked about a lot, an interesting discussion about, you know, why isn't he being censored on YouTube and people even using that stupidly to pretend that, or, you know, argue, you can consider anything like this, but to argue as a matter of fact, because he's not censored, he's a shill, or vice versa, because someone is censored, they're absolute truth. Neither of those things are true. But James Corbett is one of the best, well-sourced, and one of the most intelligent people in these topics that I can find. And it's interesting to see now that his very well-sourced material is now being censored on YouTube. Well, guess what? It was a video from 9 years ago. Out of all the work he's done, out of everything that he's covered in COVID-19, and I mean, you know, all the same stuff we're doing. Even better, in my opinion, because I think Corbett does an absolutely stellar job. But they have to go after, you know why they think this is important? Because this is 9 years ago where he's calling out the exact same scam in regard to SARS, or which I believe it was SARS 9 years ago when this was going on. And he called out the same thing, the WHO, the pandemic, you know, illusion. It's crazy. That's why Corbett is somebody you should be listening to. But the interesting thing is that they've waited up until now, I argue, because he's one of these people that, you know, I'd like to believe I'm in the category of someone who does good enough work that they have a hard time censoring it other than just doing it for whatever reason. But that's now happening to him. And it's frustrating that this continues to happen, but it's a good thing that we're beginning to pull away from YouTube, all said and done, everything. On that same note, YouTube just deleted my last video, which is incredible because at the same point, you can read the title. Top epidemiologist speaks out about COVID vaccine side effects. That's the top epidemiologist in California. And now that's but a big discussion. We're pausing. Moderna paused it. And on top of that, major study challenges lockdowns. It's a huge study, a peer-reviewed study. That's what this show was. So a peer-reviewed scientific document and the top epidemiologist, and that's not good enough for YouTube because they don't like what I'm saying. Done. Deleted. Who cares, though? YouTube is dying and they know it. That's the point. I just find it incredible that they can even pretend to censor somebody like James Corbett for pointing out facts or the video where I'm citing people that they tell us to listen to. Think about how embarrassing that must be for them that they know people see this right now. It's pathetic. But going forward to a couple points from the side of Donald Trump. And as we go into the beginning part about, make sure you guys can still see this still, going into the part about, you know, the illusion here. And again, this is whether or not Donald Trump, you believe Donald Trump was part of this illusion or was being deceived himself. It's irrelevant now, right? I mean, maybe not so for those that want to continue to, you know, maybe 2024 or Trump TV, and it's fine. But the point is, recognize how the system doesn't work. I would like you to see, hopefully, that there is more going on there, that I do think he plays a part. I think it's very clear. But nonetheless, the system is broken, and it doesn't work, and it's meant this way. And this was always the point. From the very beginning of when this happened, I believe this was the plan. He was put in here for the purpose of creating the very thing they're using now to justify what they're trying to roll in. And this was about turning something that they recognized, a growing concept of whatever, nationalism, you know, take that, make it into something that they don't, that makes it, you know, make it into a cartoonish version of what it is, and then use that to justify why they want what they always wanted from the beginning. That's the point. The globalist idea, all of this. I mean, look, that was all of what Trump was about. Now they've turned it into a cartoon and flipped it around and made it out to be like the devil incarnate. And they're lying about 95% of what they're saying, even though they don't need to, because there's a lot of negative things to be pointed out. But it's all the illusion. And on top of that, to finish, no pardons for Julian Assange or Edward Snowden, which I don't know why anybody thought that would happen if they were paying attention. But we knew that beforehand because lawyers lodged appeals against the block on Julian Assange's extradition, which also show you that this is Donald Trump and his administration doing this before we got there, which needs to show you something. I mean, either he doesn't realize that he's being played or he is part of the problem. I mean, there are actions that are being made at the end when he knows he's leaving. So what does that show you? I would argue it shows you he's part of the problem. But of course, he grants clemency to rapper Lil Wayne, Kodak Black, and Miami gun-related cases. Totally makes sense, right? We all care about those people, but we don't care about Julian Assange and any number of other people that wildly deserve to be vindicated, not even pardoned. But you're going to pardon this? Why? Why is this what Americans care about? It's not, actually. But on top of that, just to leave it off, Trump revokes his own lobbying ban for former officials. Whether that's because he sees it a benefit to himself going forward or not, or however you want to look at it, this is the opposite of what you thought he was fighting for, period. This is the establishment. He is making moves for people that are not you, not the American people. I just really want everyone to see that, whatever side you're on. Hopefully you're on the side of the American people and not a two-party illusionist. But going forward into this, he, whether or not, is being used. The idea, the Trump era, MAGA, QAnon, all this stuff is being used. And they're really making a caricature. I mean, these are hyped up, unrealistic cartoons of what these things are. And they're making it out. I mean, the idea that you could call something like this domestic terrorism is just so, not only embarrassing to the rest of the world, it laughs at us when we say something so stupid, but that it is insulting to people that in fact are victims of that very thing. And a lot of cases that are being driven forward by the U.S. government. So it's very insulting. But here's what happened during the inauguration thus far, at least, you know, because all the hype about all the terrible things that were going to happen. You know, and I was equally concerned about it. I never said I knew for a fact anything would happen, but I was equally concerned. And by the way, there has been a hell of a lot of violence and chaos and all the stuff that we were worried would happen. It did happen. But the idea that there would be one kind of calamitous event at the very end that would drive it all together, I was concerned about that. And maybe that doesn't mean it's still not going to happen. But right now, it looks like as if all of this was meant to just justify the hype And that as if because Biden's here and the new direction's here, everything will start to get better, including COVID, which we'll get to in a minute. And that because we did all this and because we're present and because we took actions before inauguration, that's why it didn't happen. And that's why we need the Domestic Terrorism Act, right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. U.S. soldier arrested in plot to blow up the NYC 9/11 memorial. This is interesting because this is clearly being, I saw almost every article I saw linked this to the Capitol and inauguration, even though it had nothing to do with it. Why? Because they're trying to use whatever they can to get you to think what they want. Not that it has anything to do with truth. These people are not journalists. They are propagandists. So when they're doing this, not this one, this is just a report on what happened. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Who knows what they're trying to sell you on here, but every other mainstream article, Politico and all of them, they said DC, you know, or they say 9/11 memorial arrested in a bomb plot while DC, DC on high alert. Why does that have anything to do with the other? They want you to think it's the same thing as saying, look, an RV was stolen in California. Uh-oh, look out, DC. What? Or, not RV, excuse me, a Humvee. It was an armed Humvee. So because anything armed and military, suddenly we're worried about Trump all the way on the side. I mean, come on, it's obviously trying to hype it up. But here's what this says. Cole James Bridges of Stowe, Ohio, was in custody on charges of attempted material support of a terrorist organization, the Islamic State group, you know, the one that 100% defeated, an attempted murder of a military member, according to the Manhattan federal prosecutors. Now, the 20-year-old soldier, also known as Cole Gonzalez, was with the 3rd Infantry Division out of Fort Stewart, Georgia, when he thought he was communicating with the Islamic State online. So at this point, it sounds like somebody who was, you know, disenfranchised, who recognized what horrible things were happening over the seas under the guise of spreading freedom, and then nonetheless did something that I would argue is still also wrong, going and working with another group that's also committing terrible things because he thought that was okay. Nonetheless, the point is that they're going after him for doing something they claim is setting up, the claim is that he was about to carry out some kind of a bomb attack on this 9/11 memorial. But here's where it gets even more interesting. Unbeknownst to Bridges, an FBI employee was in on the chat as Bridges provided details, instructions on tactics and manuals and advice about attacking the memorial. Yeah, I'm sure that was just a quirky coincidence. Or how about the FBI employee was involved with this whole process like they are in everything that they talk about and everything they pretend they're stopping. I can't ever get past the absurdity of how we know that they sometimes lead the very things they say they're stopping. Like, so their informant is the one that's actually the leader of the group. And then they claim everyone else was the responsible ones. Because they were going along with their friend group or, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that they're not ever committing crimes. But there's a question to be had there. If you wouldn't have done this without the FBI pushing you to do it, were you still guilty of a crime? Some people would say yes, but there's a discussion that's had to be had there that's not being had. And in this case, I find this interesting that this happens right before the Capitol, or excuse me, right before the inauguration when this is all being talked about and the FBI employees involved and everyone linked it to the, I mean, and ultimately nothing. Interesting. Of course, we also had the Supreme Court evacuated due to bomb threat that amounted to nothing. Nothing. Same thing. Bomb threats during the inauguration. Oh my God, everyone, you know, and it's the whole thing. They want you to be like, oh man, bomb threats and we've got Humvees being stolen and there's crap. And none of this really means what you think it means when they're patching it all together. But this amounted to nothing. So somebody, anybody could have called this in, including themselves. But as everyone's pointing out before this on the 17th, breaking per Associated Press, defense officials fear a possible inside attack on the inauguration, which, by the way, is certainly possible at any point in time. But why do they fear that? Is there some kind of inside evidence? Is there some kind of, you know, information? No, it's because of the same old narrative we've been being fed. It's not like they just shot something new. No, they decided to put this out because this has been the sentiment. They told you this would be the case before we even got to this election. Halfway through Trump's administration, they were talking about this happening now. So they want you to think, oh my gosh, fear. And they're talking about National Guard troops being vetted. Right. So we're 3 days away from this happening. And all of a sudden, just kind of offhandedly going, you know, maybe we should vet these people. Obviously, that's stupid. Because first of all, they're all vetted in every possible way before they're working with any kind of thing related to any White House or Capitol building or any of that. That's how this works. On top of that, they're talking about people that what they're actually saying first, the bottom line is that I'm trying to censor myself here, not in the bad way, but like I'm trying not to waste a hell of a lot of time on side talk. Everybody's always talking about how long these videos are for doing stuff what I'm doing right now. So what it ultimately boils down to National Guard troops to be vetted to find out whether or not they can draw some kind of tangential, you know, connection, some line to something they could claim is conservative at the very least, or maybe MAGA, maybe Q. Oh, look, he watched this video on YouTube. He's suspect. That's what this is. And that is what is happening. That's not my opinion. That's literally what's happening. QAnon adherents discussed posing as National Guard to try to infiltrate inauguration, according to FBI intelligence. Oh, cool. So is this an FBI group that they were leading that they asked, hey, would you want to do that? And they said, maybe, why not? Oh, they got caught. Right? You see how that works. When the FBI is there pushing and driving what they want, and you get people that maybe say things, especially online, in places where they're thinking they're anonymous, where literally everybody, I should say literally, everybody blusters. Acts like they're big and tough and doing this and I'll take that and everybody. So to argue that this is anything is, I mean, to know what they're capable of doing and have done, this should be very questionable. Certainly possible, like anything else. But here now that we're past this point, I'm pretty sure we can see now that it didn't happen. But of course, here's what they want you to think is happening. Oh, by the way, as I said, here's my correction. Here's what Washington Post breaking, right? And I said, breaking, the agency that fakes events as a matter of policy makes claims without evidence and Americans rightly question its validity. There, I fixed the headline for you. But here's what they want you to think now. This is the 19th, so 2 days later, just in, per AP. Two U.S. Army National Guard members are being removed from the security mission due to secure Joe Biden's presidential inauguration after being found to have ties to fringe right group militias. So that will sound all big, bad, and scary to people that are blindly being fear-mongered about this topic with no due diligence, no data, no facts, just fringe far right, which literally could mean the Proud Boys. It could mean any number of groups that you can call whatever you want far right. But to pretend that something at just because, like, that means that they're what, white supremacists? That means that they're inherently dangerous is not actually backed up by the facts. Especially since most of these groups have minority people in their groups. But yet still call them white supremacists because that's really stupid, but they don't care about the data. That's why they're claiming white supremacists are working with Al-Qaeda, because they think you're that dumb. They think you're willing to just gobble up whatever nonsense they feed you because they just hate the enemy that much. So they remove these people because they had ties to, this could be as simple as having community discussions with chats in on 4chan. That's it. Or on, let's say you spoke on Parler, had an account on Parler. I've already seen people just like this make that kind of a connection to say, oh, well, he was in circles on Parler, so that means this. And that doesn't mean that. You're assuming that. And that's irresponsible and dangerous. And that's why they're doing it, though. They want you upset. They want you concerned. But as it goes on to say, the AP sources, an unnamed U.S. Army official, very good journalism as usual, guys, and a senior U.S. intelligence official in its report about the removal of two National Guard members from the inauguration. And guess what? It notes that no plot was found against the president. Okay, so they're probably conservative, and this is the case, by the way. These are people that have, quote, ties to fringe right groups. Do you know what they call fringe right groups? Basically anything conservative, MAGA, Trump, any of it. That's so incredibly ignorant and also demonizing half this country. I thought you were, you know, supposed to be representing the American people, not just your party, you see? But the problem is that's exactly what happened when Trump was in office and exactly what Trump supporters did. It's a two-party illusion. That's the problem. But here they're doing it now on their side. No plot was found, but we removed him anyway because they're conservatives. Because that's called, it's an ideological war. You're going after people because of what they believe, just like you're doing with Shiites in Iran and everything else. It's not a secret. That's how this government operates. Whether Biden's there or Trump is there, it's the same government, guys. But 12 Guard members removed from the inauguration. If you dig into the story, you find out that there's literally nothing. If I was one of these people, I would file some kind of a complaint, if not some kind of legal action. Because you just removed me from something they probably find to be very, they're proud to be there, probably. And they removed them because of their ideology. I believe there's probably a lawsuit there. But because you're feared up, right? The whole McCarthyism 2.0 or 3.0, however you want to look at it, it's all spinning up again, and now it's the same thing. And we cannot remember that we were here numerous times in the past. Again, to point out what I said the other day, how dumb is it that we know, as a matter of fact, in our history, we went through the Red Scare, McCarthyism, right? The use of communism to basically attack your enemies with nothing to back it up. Well, here we are, guys. And they don't care. Everyone out there who knows that's what's happening is probably going, yeah, perfect. It's working right for me. I'm using it right now to attack my enemies. It's happening all over the place. On both sides, on all sides. It's ridiculous. And we apparently are not smart enough to see past it, or they're presenting you with a false majority, and we all see it. Just time for you to speak up about it. But as Patrick says, for the naive, I hope you understand that these barriers are not temporary. They are to separate the new fascist regime from the people. This is the dark winter Biden was taunting about. Biden, that's what I said too. Now, I don't know if that was a matter of fact. It'd come down tomorrow for all I know, but I believe the same thing. I believe this is where we're going to go going forward. Because are you going to pretend like that they're not going to keep hyping the threat of MAGA and Trump and Q? And as I said before, remember, that is why this is working for them. I think this was the plan. They're going to use the idea of MAGA and Trump and Q all the way through Biden's administration as a threat on the ground, meant to scare you about the new domestic terrorism threat that's always been the point. As Michael Tracy points out, downtown D.C. is essentially under military occupation, and nobody in our bold adversarial watchdog media apparently finds this odd. Right. Why? Because Trump, bad guy. And that's all they need. And that is exactly why he was the perfect tool. He was used. I'm not saying he is a tool. I'm saying that he was used as a tool. And that's very obvious, whether he was part of it or not. I mean, you can see it right now. Just because Trump, this all makes sense. If it would, and it wouldn't otherwise. And just because Trump, plenty of people that would have been rising up through the streets during this whole time weren't because Trump. The very people that were the most concerning for the establishment were basically muzzled because they believed Trump was fighting for them. And Candace chimes in and says, I live here and can confirm this is true. Something isn't right here. It honestly looks like they are setting up for a military coup, not an inauguration. Not sure why the most popular U.S. president-elect of all time, still makes me laugh, requires dictator-grade protection. What's so funny is you can watch. I hope people out there who, I mean, you guys see it because you're all on the two-party illusion side here, that you'll watch as my beliefs, my opinions are consistent. I point out the absurdity of the two-party illusion. I point out the lies. I research that, whatever. But you'll watch as the administration's flip-flop, the two-party illusionist will go from calling me one thing to the other while I stay the same. Isn't that funny? So right now, because I'm pointing out that this is all nonsense, and I shouldn't use such generalizations, but because of what I'm pointing out is nonsense, I'm going to be called a Trump supporter. And they're going to use it to demonize me and make me out to be a domestic terrorist. They would do it anyway, using COVID-19. But the point is funny how it flips back and forth. I was a crazy snowflake Democrat during Trump's administration, and now it's going to flip around as I stay the same. But this is what it leads to, right? This is what it's about. DOJ sedition team. Sedition. That's alarming, guys. The sedition team. Now, Whitney and I are going to talk about this more, I believe, tomorrow when we get together. But the definition is to conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. But there's actually legal definitions as well. But the point is, this is an incredibly alarming thing to say, that their sedition team is investigating the Capitol rioters, quote, just like international terrorism. Why this shouldn't be surprising at all. We saw this. We told you this was going to come. And whether or not it's based on something real or not, this was always the plan. And they're going to use this. I mean, think about how insulting it is to argue that that event and those people are enough to start all of this. Do you realize there's been plenty? I mean, again, to go back to the example, I think it was either 83 or 84 of the people that are currently involved, be it Black Lives Matter, they bombed the Capitol building. That seems like a hell of a lot more severe of an action, but no, that didn't trigger anything. It's just funny how now is being used. It's not about what the actions, it's about what they desire and how they then create the context to drive in that desire. But as Biden says, we must end this uncivil war. I mean, the way they're playing with words today, it's really ridiculous. First of all, a civil war is implying the idea that it's an internal war. But to call it an uncivil war, does that mean that? I mean, it's just that's just almost nonsensical to me. But it also implies, to the bigger point, that we're in a war, which, by the way, you should know. But if I say that, I get censored. We're in a war right now. It's right now it is the government versus you. That's what it is. But right now, if you keep thinking it's Democrats versus Republicans, you will be lost. You'll lose is the point. Just like they always do. Just like the Trump supporters just lost. Just like Obama supporters before them lost. You'll lose every time. The same thing goes forward. And they scream about the other side didn't let us. How many times did I say that during Trump's administration? Just like Obama, they said, oh, Obama would have changed the world if the Republicans would have let him. And they're going to say Trump the same thing. Trump would have changed the world if the Democrats would have let him. Why can't we see how stupid and reductive and just repetitive this is? Blows me away. But get ready for the new war versus against you. This is the new phase of the war against you, where they tell you they're warring against you, but they use bad guy Trump people to make it seem like they're fighting against them over there. But it's about all of us. And to really understand it, as they point out, the democracy and unity of Biden's inaugural address have fine print that we all see. And it's not even very fine. I would argue it's subtitle at this point, after dissent is silenced. Right? It's all about coming together in unity while they demonize an entire, I don't know whether it's accurate to say half the country, maybe it's more, but millions and millions and millions of Trump supporters, a huge, huge, huge part of this country is being called terrorists broadly by all of the media. Don Lemon said, if you voted for Trump, you're a bad person. Paraphrasing. I mean, it's all over the place. So the point is, how can you scream about democracy and unity when you're not even on the other side of your mouth, when you're in your next sentence is that these people are dangerous and we need to go after them? This is about unity within the people supporting the two-party illusion still. And I can argue even this part of it. I mean, there's always people on all sides within that illusion, as usual. They want you battling in there, battling each other. But the unity has nothing to do with any of that. It's about division. It's a front. It's a farce. And this is what it's all about. This is one of the most alarming things I think I've seen in this country. I mean, and that is in no way an overstatement. This is crazy. 4 million people have seen this. I'm not even going to play. Well, I believe I did decide I was going to play a part of it so you could hear it. But I'm really not going to play this whole thing because it is disgusting. As it says, Trump's new army. On January 20th, Donald Trump will no longer be the commander-in-chief. He will lose control of the U.S. Armed Forces and take control of a new army. You know who he means? All of his supporters. That's it, all of them. Republicans, conservatives, MAGA, Q. He goes through all of it. And he's saying that they're dangerous, all of it. It shouldn't be surprising that they're all doing this. I mean, it's incredible. Here's Comey. The whole Republican Party needs to be burned down. But unity and democracy, though, right? Because those two things perfectly line up. As Helen says, have to say, the sort of person who would make a video like this is a hell of a lot more threatening to the American way than a bunch of Trump supporters. Exactly.
Honored before January 20th, Donald Trump will no longer be the commander-in-chief. He will lose control of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Special Forces, and America's nuclear arsenal. On January 20th, Donald Trump will become the commander-in-chief of a different army. This army.
Okay, so right here, what's the basis for that? Do you have some kind of insight? Did Donald Trump tell you that? Did you get some documentation that showed you that literally 75 million people or more are all collecting to become an army? This is so incredibly, obviously incorrect. I don't care if you believe that most of them are somehow part of something. You can't say stuff like this, but here's the point. I can't say stuff like this. I say something that's so incredibly, like, insultingly inaccurate and just, you, I mean, literally the definition of being, you know, the broad brush, just saying, oh, all of them. Which is, you know, you could call it racist, you can call it discriminatory. You're basically calling every single person there the same thing. If I did that, I would be called out 15 different ways. Imagine if I did that tomorrow about the entire Democrat Party. They would call me a racist. They would say, you're calling black people this or this, that. But you can't see here, even though there's plenty of minorities in this crowd, the same way, he is broadly brushing them all the same way. It's not just about minorities. That's just the point that comes to mind with one side of the two-party illusion. But if I were to make such absurd claims, I would be censored. I would be called out. But here is somebody who is being promoted. Here's a blue check with 600,000 subscribers, followers, 46,000 likes, 28,000 retweets, telling you that half this country are terrorists. This is the destruction. This is what is destroying the country. Not people like me pointing out that they're lying to you, pointing out that what they're doing is trying to divide you as I'm screaming about actual unity and actually Americans coming together. No, they're telling you that you need to fight your neighbor, and that's called unity. This is 1984, as always. This is scary.
Facing America today comes from within. Radical extreme conservatives, also known as domestic terrorists.
what's not alarming is this video was made. What's alarming is how it's being promoted everywhere. I can't even find... The vast majority of the blue check circles on one side of this two-party illusion are all about this. Because it works for their politics. These are the actual terrorists, not one side or the other. Anybody involved with this that are trying to turn you against your family, your neighbors, your American people, or other countries for that matter. These are the actual terrorists. And that's exactly what Helen is talking about. And that scares the hell out of me that we even have to have this conversation. But here's what somebody actually said, and this is why this is so scary to me. Here's another blue check for you with 211,000 followers. We have to fight back against Trump's new army. I'm proposing we form a citizen army. Our weapons will be computers and cell phones. We are monitoring extremists on the internet and are reporting findings to authorities. It's up to you. It is all of us in this together. This is crazy. These people are not only think this is totally normal, but I mean, they have been charged up to think that this entire group is actually domestic terrorists. How do you tie your shoes in the morning? Right? How did you graduate school? How are you smart enough to be here and live when you're willing to think something so ignorant? And that's nothing. That's nothing to do with two-party politics. I've been calling out Trump and the whole MAGA side and Q from the very beginning. I'm just honest enough to realize this is a flagrant misrepresentation meant to divide us. And here's another one. Rallies. Otherwise known as protesting, should be, well, I mean, you could call it same difference if you're not a president and you're bringing people together to have a discussion. That's free assembly. Better way to put it. Should be illegal from this point forward. Oh, do they mean for everybody? No, they mean for Trump. Trump and supporters of Trump. He has no legitimate power, only referent power, and that must stop. You didn't see Hillary holding rallies. So the point is, it's not, and by the way, Hillary has been aggressively involved with politics since then, and he will probably be too. But the idea to pretend that this person is now persona non grata and just cannot be involved, which is exactly what the actual impeachment was about, is alarming. This is called an abuse of power, and it's going to happen. They're going to do this, and they're going to justify it with the new Red Scare. It's all coming down. And this is, I'm glad Caitlin Johnstone pointed this out. A progressive herself, Trump's new army video is liberals at their craziest and scariest, and I completely agree. People, by the way, that are being completely snowed by the two-party illusion. But this is why you see people like this that are out of their minds crazy, and they are equally as crazy as those still lost on the right side of the two-party illusion. Right? The people over there that did the exact same thing during this whole process and acted like Democrats were the deep state and that every one of them had the same opinions and all of them were bad people. That is just as ignorant. You have to see it from both sides. It's only popular at one point or another to point out one side. That's what this show does. It's the truth, the hard truth, the fact that both of them are ridiculous and both of them are deceiving you. Right now, it's the liberals' turn. And it flip-flops, just like I said all through Trump. I don't know why we can't see it. Burn down the entire Republican Party. Burn it down. All of it. Right? Not just rioters, not just anti, not just extreme, all of it. The Republican Party is the problem. And we know this is the point. But it's not, there's plenty of Republicans that are very different than maybe some you saw at the Capitol, or maybe some anywhere, or maybe the fact that you can't argue that everyone in a party has the same opinion because that's stupid. But it all boils down to using this generalized idea as the threat. That's all it really is. And here is a CIA individual who is at work with the DNI, Director of National Intelligence. Want to make sure I didn't say that incorrectly. Somebody in intelligence. A spy, if you will, somebody who is driving this from this is what I argue a combination of these intelligence, the intelligence apparatus and the intelligence apparati and the elitists out there, the families, it's a multifaceted group of unelected power. That's what this really is. And I would argue that the intelligence community is a part of that. And here's what she has to say about how we should act in regard to this new threat that all of a sudden just popped up after 4 years, right? Like, it's funny how a new threat. Why weren't they talking about it 2 years ago, 4 years ago, right? It's being used now. And here's what she has to say.
Almost need a 9/11 commission kind of activity. It's got to be a combination of FBI, like it's going to be with us for a while. Yeah, I think you almost need a 9/11 commission kind of activity.
A 9/11 like commission activity. Right, because we know how well the 9/11 commission worked out. Right, just, you know, jam-packed full of misinformation and lies that we all know are lies. That shouldn't be crazy to hear, like, as a matter of fact, like, things that are very clearly shown to be false. I mean, that are called out by other people in the government. But she wants to do this. She wants to have a 9/11-like commission to go after people, not just because of the Capitol, but at large. That is called a McCarthyist, that is the Red Scare all over again. You are going to create a commission that is going to seek out people in the country that are un-American, right? That's like a Tea Party kind of thing, right? That's scary. Because it will be abused, and it will be used against you, and it will be used against anybody's enemies that are not part of the prominent side at that moment. Now, McConnell, just to show you how this is all going now that this is, you know, now that it's clear Biden's getting like the shift of power. Now all the people are going to slime in their position. They're going to fall into line, and it's all about the progression and going forward and keeping the agenda. McConnell is basically saying, oh, they were fed lies and provoked by Trump, which is it's just not true. It's not true. And we all know that. Even the ones lying about it know that. They just want to pretend that they know secretly that Trump's a really bad guy. So whether he did it or not, that's probably worth lying about, lying for their truth, as we keep pointing out. And those people sometimes actually believe that backward justification, the equivocation, is somehow acceptable, because they'd rather not admit that they're a dishonest liar than pretend that they're doing the right thing. Virtue. But the point is, they didn't. He wasn't. He didn't. The mob wasn't fed lies. There's obvious election manipulation, and I don't know why that's so hard for people to recognize. I did an entire show where I pointed it out in every single election. I did a show where I pointed out that NPR and CNN and all the ones claiming it's a myth were just along not too long ago screaming about the other side doing that exact thing. So how can it be a myth today when you were claiming it happened 4 years ago? Think about how crazy that is. But that's what I mean. And why can I point it out and yet nobody can talk about it? Because it's all a big control mechanism and they don't want the truth to get out. Every single election, there is election fraud, there is voter fraud, there's election machine fraud, there's manipulation at every damn level. Every single time, and we point it out, but it still gets disregarded the next time. We can have someone like Clint Curtis admit that he was paid to elect, to manipulate election machines. It's on record in front of the state Congress. He testified, he proved it, and they used the same machines the next election. How is that possible? It's possible in a system that uses that to achieve their goals. That's why. So when he says the mob was fed lies, no, you know the case, but now you're covering it because, well, the government must go on. Provoked by Trump? Obviously not. You point out any example where Trump said, go in there and break things, go in there and start fires, go in there and overthrow the government. Did he say that? No. So I don't care whether you think he meant it or not. You cannot make that claim because you're assuming. And that is childish. Damn you for making me defend Donald Trump. I mean, it's so frustrating that this is where we are. But Donald Trump, of course, to show you again, and I find this so, this is just shows you that this is the proof of everything we're talking about. That right, no, ever, not even the media that is reporting on this statement is making it out to say what it actually said, where he says he urges America to pray for Joe Biden's government. That's what Trump said on the way out. And all they did was say, Trump said he'd be back. Dun, dun, dun. Right? Like, you can't honestly, like, the fact that you can't report that he said that means you're trying to sell a narrative. The idea that he would say pray success for his government is, I mean, the worst they could do is argue that that was his sort of backhanded way of saying the last thing he would ever do, which just shows you how far off the rails the mainstream media is today. That's what Trump actually said. It says, this week we inaugurate a new administration and pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous. Right? So if the media was ever being honest with you, they would say, well, here's what Trump actually said, which is a stark contrast to what we've been saying. He would say, right? Nope, none of that. None of it. They'll just ignore it, or they'll frame it in a way that makes him seem like he's threatening secretly. It's pathetic. But in the beginning of this new puppet government, as all the rest before, the same things began again. Biden issues a barrage of 17 executive orders, right? The same thing. And oh, but this one's okay because Biden's doing it to correct the problem. Oh, okay. Didn't Trump make that same argument with Obama? Yeah, he did. But who cares? We'll all fall for it again. You go ahead, Biden, because we're stupid like that. We'll just dive right into the same lie because we think you're different, because we all love a savior, don't we? This is what's so frustrating. Here is the executive orders, guys. One, and some of these have reversals, which are reversing Trump's policies, which again just shows you what a lack of any kind of representative government we have. If somebody can just step in, sign papers, and flip the things that people actually voted for. In some cases, these would be other executive orders, but understand that some of these things are actually, you know, some kind of representative process. If you can believe Congress is that at all, which, you know, I don't, but I'm just trying to make a point. But they're coming in and flipping this around. The truth is, as you know, I know, we don't have a democracy. It's a joke. Princeton found that in studies. We don't. This is the embarrassing part of what we are as Americans, as by and large, we cannot get past these definitions we have of ourselves. The facts are painfully clear. I mean, take the facts of what we call a third world country and you'll be shocked to find out we meet every one of them. But we're not, though. And we met those all before coronavirus, COVID-19. So by the definition of the factors in the definition, we should call ourselves a third world country. We won't, though, because we don't like to say that. So it's not about facts and definitions. It's about what we want to say. So the first one is launching a 100 days masking challenge, which, by the way, is more, it's not really a masking challenge. It's requiring masks and physical distancing in federal buildings, federal lands, and by government contractors, urging states and local governments to do the same. So this is just the start of the same thing. Now, this will be framed as a way that Biden is doing the thing. And look, if we should have kept Trump, because he would. It's the same. Nothing's changing. The only thing's changing is rhetoric, narrative. The same things that were already happening during Trump are going to continue to happen during Biden. That's the point. Masks, social distancing, lockdowns, despite the evidence, by the way. But it says stops the United States withdraw from the WHO. Oh, that's a shock. Who said that would happen? That's right. We said that 1,000 times, which was always the plan. And I asked somebody about that, about, well, what happens if Biden gets, no, Trump with his next 4 years, he'll make sure. Oh, so here we are. The point was, it was never really going to end. And that was always the plan. That's why Trump gave billions to Gavi, which went to WHO anyway. We already talked about this. Derek exposed this right in the beginning. And nobody wanted to accept it. Creates a position of a COVID-19 response coordinator. Because we need more bureaucracy, right? We have far too many people already making decisions with political interests. We don't need more. But sure enough, here we go. Extends the existing nationwide moratorium on evictions. That's a good thing, I argue. But you don't need an executive order to do that. Especially when you have all four. I mean, you've got the Senate, you've got the House, and you've got the executive branch. The idea that you need to do this now is an illusion. What we should do as Americans is say we will, I mean, first of all, none of these apply to anything other than the executive branch. That's the illusion. So we have a fake government right now. All these papers flying with things that basically dictate the executive branch that they're using to make things happen all around the country. That is unjust. It's illegal, technically. But what we should say as Americans is we will accept no more executive orders, period. Zero. If you guys can't figure it out between you like you're a bunch of children, then you're going to sit in that room until you figure it out. You know what? They'd probably figure it out pretty quick if they knew they had no other option. Like they used to. So the point is that we should remove executive orders and have them fight it out for the government. When they come back and say, the Democrats won't let us, we say, we don't care. When they come back and say, the Republicans won't do that, we don't care. You are our representatives. We don't want to hear your bickering. Figure it out. You're adults. Come to a conclusion. You know, this is the point. But we treat them like a bunch of children and they just argue and they make executive orders about what they ultimately wanted to begin with. Rejoins the Paris Climate Accord, a process that will take 30 days, it says. Cancels the Keystone XL pipeline. Rescinds the Trump administration's 1776 commission. Directs agencies to review their actions. You know what I think is crazy about this is they have these executive orders like things like this where Trump will do something. It starts all kind of movement. You know, there's committees made, there's groups made, there's funding that starts, and then they come in and they just kill it or reverse it. What happens to all the people that were in the process of doing things? What happens to people that got new jobs and new positions? Who cares, right? This is why our government never accomplishes anything, because all we do is remove, it's a flip-flop back and forth. prevents workplace discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. What does that even mean? So you're going to sign an executive order that somehow prevents workplace discrimination? You realize we already have laws for all that, right? So now we're going to have more laws for the same things. Cool. That's all it is. That's nonsense. Requires non-citizens to be included in the census and apportionment of congressional representatives. I'll make sure there's anything more important. DACA fortifies DACA after Trump's efforts to undo them. Reverses the Trump administration's restrictions on U.S. entry and passports. Expansion of immigration. Just, you know, this is what it looks like to rule as a dictator. The same way Trump did and the same way Obama did. They are ruling by dictate, hence dictator. That's not how this works. But they've created a situation to where you think it's justified. It would be democracy if we weren't in this COVID situation. Oh, it would be democracy if there weren't Trump domestic terrorists. It would be democracy if we didn't have this group coming up from the border. It would be democracy if we weren't dealing with this or that or blah, blah, blah. It's always something. 20 years from now, it'll be like, oh, we'll get to it just as long once we finish this last thing. And you know what? We'll be dead. We'll be gone and old or moved. And some people will be coming and stepping in, and it just continues to float around. But here's something I find to be very obvious and embarrassing that shows you the fact that it's the same government doing the same nonsensical things. And they, I mean, every single election, every single time, you will have a new group set come in and there'll be 1,000 things you point out. They go, look, they're doing exactly what they criticized Trump doing. I don't know why we don't, and that should be every single time that happens. How embarrassing. Look where they said, I would never do this. And here they do that right out of the gate. Here's a funny point where there's a lot of those you'll be able to see over the next few days. In a speech, Biden tells Americans to unite behind truth and reject, quote, manufactured facts. Okay, wait a minute. I didn't think fact is a very clear word. You don't have half fact. You have facts or you don't have facts. You can't have a manufactured fact. That's like saying you have a fake fact. That's not how that works. That is bad English, right? But here's what's funny about that. Manufactured facts, he says. Remember when they couldn't stop screaming and laughing about how Kellyanne Conway said alternative facts? Remember that? Well, here we are in the clown bizarro world where the same government who was laughing about that is now saying the same thing. Why? Because both of these, from different angles, are creating the idea that there are alternative sides. That whether you, if you have science and facts that I'm showing you, you can think to yourself, well, they've got facts over here that make that different. No, that's not how that works. There's facts and there's not facts. But according to Biden and Trump's administration, well, there's manufactured facts and there's alternative facts. So just listen to us because otherwise you're being lied to. That's the point. They're all the same thing, guys. Wake up. Here's Kamala Harris making history, apparently, according to the Washington Post, by being a minority. Good for you. Good way to make history by being alive. Good for you, Kamala Harris. But it says, what will she do with it? Well, I can tell you what she'll do with it. She'll restrict your rights. She'll put people in prison. She'll lock you down. She'll restrict your, you know, she'll make you wear a mask. You know, all the good freedom things they do. But here, it's just insulting to everybody that she's making history because of what she was born as. This is where we are today. And I'm racist for saying that. I think that's ridiculous. That she should make history by doing something. I honestly think it's kind of stupid to argue that it's making history. But you could argue that it's making history by electing, say, the first woman scenario, or even with the minority scenario. But the idea that just by being elected in this situation is somehow history, and again, I would even say that with the woman scenario is almost insulting to the person. You didn't do anything. You just are. That's ridiculous. Like, so, I mean, think about it even further. So if they're saying that you were elected as a woman and that's making history, and you dig into that, so you're just because you're the woman and you got this job, that's worthy of praise. But if you were a man, it wouldn't be. So that inherently implies that the woman is less than, right? Do you not see that? All the people out there screaming about how great, I mean, this is ridiculous. It's reverse. But as this person says, I can assure you, she will speak the truth and be one of the most competent VPs ever. Oh, thanks, Wallace Payne, with 8 followers. You can assure me. Well, I'm good. I feel good. But here's the thing. This is how people are. How in the world can this guy feel like he can say that? Does he know her? Why? Because he watches CNN or whatever news channel has told him that she'll be the best ever because she cares so much about us. Same thing. It's absurd. And I already saw some ridiculous thing where some guy was comparing the statue out there to Biden's hands embracing the country. Like, it's just gushing, ridiculous, nonsensical, emotional pleas. It has nothing to do with facts, reporting, news, any of it. These aren't partisanship. These aren't partisan people. If they're talking about emotional things, they're not news reporters. But this is what we're going to get. This is in Biden's entire administration. It wasn't based on who was best at their job. It was based on whether you were black, whether you were Irish, whether you were trans, whether you, whatever. I mean, I was pulling them out of my hat. But the point is, it was the token administration. You're being praised for having one of everybody. Isn't that racist in and of itself? Like you're making a collection of marbles. It's like, let's get one of every color. That's so insulting. But I'm the one racist for pointing out that that's stupid. If they were the best at their job, well, then they should get the job. And if they were a minority on top of that, well, all the better. But nope. They're saying, we're going to take people by virtue of who they are and what they look like. And then if they've got good credentials too, well, that's all the better. And I'm the racist one. Well, here's one that'll blow your mind. Let's pick the, as she points out, the least healthy person to be in charge of the nation's healthcare decisions. Yep. Dr. Levine took her own mother out of a nursing home prior to ordering COVID-infected patients into them, just like they do with every other situation where they go, you can't go outside, and then they go to their beach home. You need to shove all your old people in this home where we probably know they're going to die, and then I'm going to secretly get my mother out of the way. Thousands died in that scenario. We know this. Whether it was ventilators or the fact that they shoved them all in this area, which we now know is the fact. I mean, they did everything that we now look at and say, yeah, that would hurt them. And by the way, a lot of places are still doing it. This should go down without saying, but this should go without saying, but she should not be getting a promotion. Yeah, good point. But I think it's just, and you know, this is probably going to insult some people. And I don't know why. Do we not think that somebody who's involved of health decisions should be healthy? Now, we've gone through this weird kind of like literally bizarro world, like back, like the opposite of facts. Idea where being overweight is somehow not unhealthy. That's like, okay, go, you know, in your child fairy book story land, maybe. But it's a no-brainer. When you're overweight, you're unhealthy, right? It causes lots of health problems. And no, there's a very rare, I mean, to argue that you can be obese and be healthy is that's the same as manufactured facts. You can be healthy for being obese, but you are not, if you're obese, you're not healthy. Now, I'm not saying that about her or anything. I'm just saying looking at her and looking at the idea of her health, and this is a person making health decisions, that makes me unhappy. It should bother you. But on top of that, he picks her. Why? Well, because she's transgender. And guess what? She also encouraged COVID-safe orgies as assistant health secretary, right? There are 1,000 people that are better qualified to be this person, but she's transgender, so she got it. That's my opinion, obviously, but I think we all know what's really going on here. Just like every other person in the situation, there are people that are better at this job, that are better qualified, that make better decisions so far, and they didn't get it. It's politics, as always, and that should upset you. But on top of that, as somebody also pointed out, well, here's Belgium's Minister for Public Health, and I couldn't believe that. To make the same point. And look, it's not even just me. Here's the Mail Online. Belgium's 20-stone minister for public health is accused of being too big to be credible. Now, understand, I'm not trying to insult people who are heavy. Not even close. In fact, what I would argue is that there's plenty. I mean, right now is the most important time in the history of the situation in your life to try to find ways to reduce the comorbidities, to be more healthy, because it does put your life at risk. It's a positive thing to try to get away from that. Like, I don't understand why we're not allowed to talk about these things. If I had diabetes that was causing me to be more ill, it wouldn't be sensitive for someone to point out, well, you shouldn't have that. It's because this has become a sensitive thing. But I wouldn't go up to someone in their face and say this, but the point is, because I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. But if you're a public official, of course I'm going to say something. You are making health decisions for this country while you're flagrantly unhealthy. That should be, that's the equivalent of any other scenario you can make it into. People that are, you know, that's like Big Pharma being in a health position for the FDA, which by the way is exactly what happens. What's his name? One of Trump's individuals for the FDA is now working for Pfizer, or one of those people back and forth. And that happens all the time. But guess what? After somebody accuses her of being too big to be credible, she gets back by saying, well, it's inside what counts. Well, that's a nice fuzzy thing to say. And oh, it's what it's inside that matters, except we're not talking about emotional things. We're talking about health. So just because you're a good person doesn't mean that you actually know what's going on in regard to health. And if you can't take care of your body, I don't know why we would listen to you in regard to what we should do with ours. Sorry if I'm insulting anybody, but this is just hard truth. That's what we're here for. And I do not like the idea that these are people that are being put in these positions because of who they are, not what they know and what they've done. That's disgusting. But it's the same situation we're always having in this country, or and all of them for that matter, governments in general. But Trudeau's Liberals to launch new bureaucracy to regulate Canadian social media content. So this is all continuing forward with, and this is based on not just COVID-19. This is based on the idea of the Capitol and the domestic terrorism, all of it. And it's all being used to, more than just the United States, crack down on what you're allowed to say. That shouldn't be surprising to you. But as even an FBI profiler points out, banning people on social media actually makes it harder to fight terrorism. But guess what, guys? They know that. They know that. They know that because this is exactly what they want to create. But as Donald Trump departs the White House, he says that this... he'll be back in some form, which I think we all see. And again, I would argue or ask whether or not this is actually still part of the plan. Because if Trump comes back as Trump TV, they will point to him and use him as the reason to create what they're creating. Now, that doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. If he genuinely wants to do that, and it's not, not some part of some plan, hopefully, the point is he has a right to do it as a free citizen. But it will be used. They will be used and pointed at and justifying all the things they're doing. But as we're at this point now, I want to just again reiterate about people out there supporting Trump, MAGA, Q. What do you think now? Right? Where are you now about the mass arrests and all the things that you were floating this whole time? And I'm not trying to call you out at this point. I've done enough of that over the last 4 years. What I want is for those people out there to realize that you were manipulated by a system that is designed to manipulate Americans, whether Trump was involved or not. And if you can help us fight that system and recreate something better that actually works within the tenets of what we believe we are in this country, we should all be for that. But I don't think it's smart to hang on desperately to something just because you want to continue to believe what didn't happen. They want you to hang on to this, and they want you to keep going and keep getting more radicalized. Don't do it. Fight back in a way that can be used positively. I'll leave it there. But I really hope people can come to their own conclusions about how this manipulation has been going. But to kind of segue into COVID, of course, big surprise. Guess what? Right when Biden gets elected, Wall Street declares the beginning of the end of COVID-19 crisis. What do you know? What a perfect timeline. And here's what's funny. It says, with COVID cases failing and vaccines accelerating, this is probably the beginning of the end, they say. This is coming from B of A and a lot of different people in Wall Street circles. But here's what's interesting. The COVID cases were beginning to decline around January 7th, and they've continued since then. So why did they wait until the 20th to make that announcement? I wonder why. I'm sure you can make your own decisions on why that would be. But the point is that they waited to do it when they had every opportunity to do it up before since the 7th. What changed on the 20th? Oh, that's right. Trump is no longer the person taking credit for things. So now Biden did it, even though it happened before he got there. Biden did it. But be careful, don't use that to fall into the two-party illusion. Biden's a tool within it, just like Trump is, and it's about the government, and it's about them setting up the reality, or the scenario, excuse me, to manipulate you in this way. To make you think that, I argue this is about the radicalization aspect, actually, to get more meta on it, to realize that we're talking about them creating this so you get more upset and you dig in further in the two-party illusion. That's what this feels like to me. But bringing it over into the two-party illusion, this is very important, and this is exactly, and I mean exactly, what we were predicting would happen. And a lot of people, by the way, because this is easy to see. He says, on the day Biden was sworn in, WHO advises laboratories around the world to reduce the cycle threshold on PCR testing, which will result in fewer positives. Yes, it will. So not only did they suddenly say, well, it's all over right when he gets elected on, like, this is on the 20th, right? They also simultaneously said, let's lower that cycle threshold. You know, that thing that we've been screaming about for 8 months about how we all know that the cycle threshold is creating false positives. And now Fauci admitted that in July, and we keep doing it, and everyone's talking, right? Only now do they do it. Really? I haven't seen something so obvious. This, if they care, if this is so insulting, because they've known this for this whole time, and because if Fauci can say it, if the WHO knows about it, they all know about it. Because it's been in these circles, it's been discussed, and they only wait until now, and guess how they frame it? As if it's some kind of a routine thing. This is an information notice. It says nucleic acid testing technologies that use the PCR for detection of SARS-CoV-2. It says this notice is to clarify information previously provided by the WHO. Except that's not really what's happening. Now, understand that the WHO put this, that in general, put this stuff out. And I argue even still, maybe I'm missing something, but even still, it seems to say higher than it should be. The point is that this is being out, put out as if we already told you, but we're going to reiterate it. No, that didn't happen. People around the world have been using this incorrectly from the very beginning, and they knew that. They would have made this a big deal from the very beginning if that was the case, and it wasn't. But here's what it says. Description of the problem. WHO requests users to follow the instructions for use. The IFU. So that's simple, right? When interpreting results for the specimens. So they've put this out and basically say, read the instructions that we have. Really? We're going to pretend like that's all it takes? That thing we gave you, that document, just go ahead and read it. So if they, so are we really, are you actually suggesting, WHO, that all of these people are not even reading the instructions before they use the test? Really? These doctors, these nurses, and these whole medical organizations are not reading how to use the test that they need to use to test for COVID-19? Like, think about how ignorant that is. So this, the instructions are just read the instructions. Users of the IVDs must read and follow the instructions carefully to determine if manual adjustment of the PCR positivity threshold is recommended by the manufacturer. Oh, cool. So now we're asking the test maker whether or not they should increase or decrease the test. What the hell is going on? WHO guidance diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. Cool, cool. I'm so glad you came out and said that. The cycle threshold it needed to detect virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. Excuse me. It says where test results do not correspond with the clinical presentation, a new specimen should be taken and retested using the same or different NAT technology. That's not happening. There, everybody knows that they're erring on the side of caution every way, and I'll show you that next. If they think that they may be positive, it's a positive. In every way, in every place we're talking about. Here is the actual test, the actual information. This is the IFU they're talking about, the instructions for use. Here is the only part that I found that gets into the actual threshold. It says, please consult instructions of companies for detailed setting procedure. So they're not even, so this is more of, I would argue this is more of an illusion to say, just read the instructions that you all already have. So they didn't read it is the argument there, but then you're saying the instructions say to read the instructions from the company. And this is supposed to change something? It says for threshold selection, the threshold should be adjusted above the amplification line of blank control. It says the following commercially available PCR amplification system have been qualified and validated for PCR amplification. And it says, it's right here. The number of cycles. That seems to say 45. Now, again, I ask everyone, I go through this, make sure that I'm not missing something. But you'll see that there's not much going on here. You're not going to find cycle threshold past this unless I missed it. But nonetheless, the point is what they're saying is read the instructions, basically. That's what it boils down to. And here is what John Rappaport is following up and saying, and I agree completely with his assessment. The criminal WHO blows its own cover. It says, in early 2020, the WHO accepted a PCR test for SARS-CoV-2 that was designed without having possession of the virus, which is true. Yet the test is meant to detect the missing virus. This is evidence of the deep criminal intent. It says, but as December 14th, 2020, WHO made a correction, thereby blowing its own cover. Why? Two reasons. Huge numbers of people have caught on to the PCR test scam. And by their correction, the WHO paves the way for declining COVID case numbers. Exactly. Thereby making it appear the new vaccine is a roaring success, which he predicted, and I predicted as well, actually. Which is funny. Remember that, like, I didn't see him predict this. I just take him at his word. But I saw this coming and I predicted this completely of my own volition. I mean, that's why I think a lot of people saw this. It's very transparent. But also recognize that that means that a lot of people out there can independently come to the same conclusion. Right, just kind of a side note. A lot of people out there do that and think, oh, you got that from them or they're, you know, some kind of way. But a lot of people just come to their own conclusions about this stuff. I see a lot of people out there coming to the conclusions that I made about things. I don't accuse them of taking my content, right? It's just, we have to just, it's about the truth and the information. It's not about us. But it says, a brief review, the PCR test, a complete fraud for several reasons, is run in cycles. Each cycle is a giant magnification of a tiny portion of the swab sample taken from the patient. As he's reported, even Tony Fauci readily asserts that if the PCR is run at 35 or higher, that it is meaningless, as I've shown you many times, right? Dr. Fauci can say this in July or June, I believe, and we just let it keep going? Like, that is one of the things that I find the most staggering is how this can be there. And we can prove it, right? We can show the video. And nobody thinks that's strange that it happened for six more months or however many more months. I got to remember to look this up when he said it. But this was right in the middle. I believe it was July.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. So that is
minuscule, meaning that it doesn't work. The chances of it working the way you want it to are minuscule. Yet months after, continually, they use that. In some places up to 45 cycle threshold, which, by the way, as Dr. Scoglio pointed out, PhD, that means potentially 95% positives. He's the one that tested the Kiwi on live air and showed us that it tested positive. I don't know why this stuff is all public out there and yet we cannot wrap our minds around it. It's because people have chosen their gospel of science. And that doesn't mean that science, actual science, is something that we shouldn't listen to. But this is scientism. Scientism is not about science. It is about what the scientists tell you is the science. And it's what the politicians tell you is the science. It is a savior concept. It's about blindly trusting that they know what's best. How about you just read the science for yourself? They want you to say, oh, you'll never understand it. Well, you know, that's pretty much not true. Yeah, there's a lot going on in these things, but I argue that the vast majority of Americans, even with some of the harder to understand things, can glean what it's trying to get across. Now, I'm not saying that should be your entire sentiment. You should look further, research, ask questions. But to just blindly take what authority is telling you, the science says, is pure ignorance, especially with their history of lying to you. But it says every positive result indicating infection with the virus occurring at 35 cycles or higher is meaningless. But as he's also pointed out, public health agencies recommend running the PCR test at up to 40 cycles, even higher, as I pointed out, in probably half the country. Therefore, labs comply. Right? So the health agencies are the ones saying this. So even if the WHO comes out and says, boo, do this, look at this, read the document. There's people within the states that are saying, do this, and they're doing it. They know this is how it's working. It says, therefore, millions upon millions of PCR test results over the last 9 months, which indicate infection, are a vast lie. A lot of very intelligent, well-educated, highly respected people in the correct field have been calling this out from the beginning. It says, therefore, the COVID case numbers are a vast lie, and the lockdowns, which are based on those numbers, are absurd, insane, criminal, and predatory, which I agree. He says a frank and honest translation of the WHO message in general. He makes a couple of breakdowns here for you, for yourself, but the breakdown of the overall message. We're changing the way we're doing the PCR test. We were running them with a high number of cycles and getting millions of false positives, and those numbers were deployed to justify the lockdowns. But now we're moving to a lower number of cycles. This change, all on its own, will result in fewer positive results. Fewer case numbers making the vaccine look very good, as well, by the way, as making it look like Joe Biden's actions caused everything to change. Now, I believe that was it. Yeah. Now, this is on top of that, moving into the next part of this in regard to the numbers. Right. Remember, we're talking about PCR cycle threshold, death case definitions, and the excess mortality. Right. So here's a point on excess mortality and the concept that they have been screaming about, you know, that, like, first of all, by the way, there's plenty of people out there, as I keep pointing out, that Sweden is an example of why we're being deceived. Plenty of people out there who go, oh, you're so stupid. How do you not listen to what the mainstream media? I don't know what they're watching, but here we go. And here's another vindication. I don't know why it's not easy enough to just look at Sweden and see that there are people that they're going to the beach and going to parks. And, you know, they're not sweeping up dead bodies in the streets. Like, it's clearly not what we're being told. But here is an important data point that will add to what we're talking about. The science is in. Adam says, behold, Sweden's 2020 historic catastrophe. Avoiding the hysterical destructive policies of others, resisting relentless demands for a health police state have left it with the same death rate as 2015, which is absolutely the case. All right. Now here, about make sure I don't miss this. I looked over this earlier. Here is the actual link to the actual data so you can look over it for yourself. Now that will be included in the show notes like everything else when I'm done. But the idea that we can pretend from any angle, right? So remember the angle was, well, yeah, it may look like they're fine, but look at their excess deaths. Oh my gosh, look how high it is. They're way over per capita next to this or that. And remember, we've heard all this. There you are. That this is all you need in regard to the discussion of the excess death. Now, that's not all you need in regard to the bigger picture. That's the opposite of what you'd hear from the media, from the mainstream. I will always tell you there could be more to the picture. But this is huge in regard to the concept of excess death, and it's not there. Period. Now, you would argue that based on everything that's happening, that it should be obviously more. Right? Lockdowns, so what that should show you is that if it's the same, that means that this is dramatically less than what we thought it was. Since we're adding on all the other things that are happening, adding on the idea of, so I would argue that without the lockdowns and the deaths being caused by this, that it would be much lower. But this should also show you that the idea that excess mortality, look at the difference between these years. It's the idea in general that there's the jump from year to year is somehow indicative of the danger is all that in and of itself is a misrepresentation. Just about being honest here, guys, with the actual data. But yet again, we're finding out that Sweden is the example of why what they did was correct. And now I'll play this all the way through with some explanation. Sorry about the beginning again, guys. So this is a great video. Dr. Hendrik Frechner, I think that's correct, slammed the German government and the media for endless propaganda. Since June 2014, a member of the municipal council of the state capital, Stuttgart, member of the state parliament, of that location since April 5th, 2016. Now, and he's also a doctor, I understand. So this is somebody speaking in front of the government in Germany and saying forcefully, as someone who has a right to speak on these things, everything that we're talking about. Now, again, I want you to think about the illusion of the beginning that, remember back when it was just Mikovits and Buttar and a couple of other people and then YouTube, and it was a bunch of YouTube crazies and fringe doctors that don't believe in science, right? That's how they framed it. And they've never left that. Here we are again, and as I always point out, with another expert, another professional, medical professional, who is telling you based on his knowledge, not because he's anti-science, but because he looked at the science, that we are being lied to. And what he says about the hospitals, you may find especially relevant. Now, there are subtitles. I'll turn it down in general, but just read the subtitles and listen to what he's saying. It's quite profound. Hold on, let me close this video so I don't do what I almost just did again that I do every time for you guys. There we go. Okay. Great video here.
Eine illustre Runde über den Lockdown, der jetzt ansteht, und mit dabei Uwe Janssens, Professor Dr. Uwe Janssens, Präsident der Deutschen Interdisziplinären Vereinigung für Intensiv- und Notfallmedizin, und verkündet wortreich und emotionsgeladen, wie wichtig es ist, endlich die gravierende.
For those on the podcast, he's basically saying that another politician made a dramatic and aggressive plea for why the hospitals are being overrun like crazy.
Die durchgreifenden Maßnahmen über das deutsche Volk ergehen zu lassen, die Intensivstationen seien so belastet, wird überquellen von Patienten, man würde dieser Lage kaum Herr werden. Um 22.13 Uhr rief ich an seiner eigenen Intensivstation an, verlangte den diensthabenden Arzt, der da mit mir sprach, und ich fragte, wie viele Patienten mit Covid liegen denn auf der Station? 19 Betten hat diese Station, und stand gestern, lag auf dieser Station kein einziger Patient.
So he called the hospital that the guy was talking about, checked on it, 19 beds, which is important to remember anyway. Not a single COVID patient. So his government, one of the people in his government is screaming about how we're going to be overrun in this hospital, and he actually checks on it, not a single COVID patient. That's not a conspiracy theory, guys. That's a fact. This guy lied about the hospitals. Now, are we going to pretend like it's only happening in this one place in the world? This is the reality. We are being deceived in a really severe way. And that doesn't mean that everyone's in the same backroom circles making these decisions. People are just seeing what's happening and abusing it in their own ways. And at some level, yes, I believe there is some coordination, but that happens well beyond the state level and the country level, I would argue. But that's crazy. Now, remember the point about 19 beds, that's part of the illusion, right? When we hear that our hospitals are overrun, what they're talking about is the ICUs and the beds for COVID patients. Now, even if that was true, that would only mean 19 beds. Is that what people picture when they say a hospital's overrun? No, they picture thousands of people in overrun. They know that. That's why they also close down other parts of the hospitals, and so people aren't going in for cancer treatment and diabetes and whatever else. And or just not because they don't want to get dealt with in a weird way or put off, or, you know, or maybe they're actually afraid of COVID-19. In any case, the lockdown in general is stopping people from getting treated. We just went over this. But it's all an illusion, and they know this.
Und mit solchen Halbwahrheiten und ganzen Lügen werden wir am Nasenring herangezogen. Solche Propagandisten in den Fernsehsendern, die nur dazu dienen, das Volk in Angst und Panik zu versetzen. Dann die ganzen Geschichten mit Infektion und Test. Ein Test, der noch nicht einmal in der Lage ist, zwischen einem aktiven und inaktiven Virus zu...
Now, this is a good way to put this, guys. What he's saying is the PCR test. It's a test that cannot even make the distinction between active virus and inactive virus. Nobody will disagree with that. That's a fact. And yet we're using it, though? Right? They'll try to pretend, well, it's one part in a larger... No, it's not. People get a PCR test and they have symptoms and they're being deemed COVID. That's a fact. And I'll show you this next. They are doing that. So they can't tell the difference between active and inactive, that is literally stating they cannot tell whether you're sick or not. People can have some detectable presence and not ever get sick or not ever be contagious. You need billions of these particles to ever actually get sick and come down with the disease, right? The point is SARS-CoV-2, you need a lot of it to actually develop COVID-19. This PCR test cannot tell that. So is it 50% wrong? Is it 90? Is it 10? I mean, the point is even the CDC openly states 30% false positives. There's no test in the world that would use a test that has 30% false positives, but we know it's more than that. As Scoglio pointed out, PhD, that it is possibly 95% when you get up above 40, 45 threshold. That's crazy. Excuse me. If you ever want to state this to people, that's how you state it. And if they disagree with you, tell them that they're wrong. And, you know, find the material so you can show it to them. That it is not, they cannot distinguish between active virus and inactive virus. The test doesn't work. Not the way we need it to.
Unterscheiden, wie der Berliner Senat zugeben musste. Der wird hier...
And as he says, by the way, and as the Senate in Berlin was forced to admit. See, this is what gets ridiculous, where we're at a point where you have the Senate of Berlin admitted in a session that that's the case with the data, with people arguing it, and we can't talk about that? I'm a conspiracy theorist and I get censored for pointing out what the Senate of, I mean, for crying out loud, guys, I think we know by now how ridiculous this is, why people like Corbyn and myself are being censored. It's embarrassing. Hopefully it comes back around, but if it doesn't, we're going to keep pushing and we'll create the alternative stuff here. But this is just, it's incredible how wildly post-truth these people are as they were trying to push that idea with us.
Einfach als Infektion gleichgesetzt. Wenn ein Patient dreimal in der Woche positiv getestet wird, erhöht sich die Infektion.
That's another really important part so what he's saying is, at least in Germany, and I want to find out whether this is the case in the United States, he's saying that so people are going in and getting tested repeatedly. So if they come in and get tested and they get three positives, that's counted as three infections. That's what's happening in Germany, at least. And that's crazy, but add that to the list of things that we've been collecting, right? Add that to the list of the three things we're talking about today. That is a guaranteed way of bloating the numbers. Everywhere we look, this is happening. But we're all crazy, though.
Statistik genau 3. Ein Test, der also zu nichts in der Lage ist, soll dazu dienen, Maßnahmen zu ergreifen. Dann kommt die Impfung. Was für ein Unsinn. Ich habe schon mal gesagt, es ist eine Mordimpfung. Ein pharmazeutisches Produkt, für das noch nicht...
He's saying that the vaccine doesn't even have a toxicology report. We don't even know. And that, I mean, think about how alarming that is. And we're going to pretend like that's not being rushed and that's totally safe, even though we don't even know what... It's alarming, and that's what he's saying.
toxikologische Daten vorliegen, soll einfach über die Menschen ergossen werden. Im Raum steht eine Unfruchtbarkeitsmachung der Frauen, schwere allergische Reaktionen. Und das wollen Sie den Bürgern einfach so zumuten. Jawohl, Sie können es, weil Sie die Bürger zuvor in Angst versetzt haben. Sie riskieren das Leben der Bürger, sie riskieren Existenzen, sie vernichten ein ganzes Land, sie führen Menschen in Leid, Panik, Verderben und Tod.
And the crazy part, guys, is this is happening all over the world. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying essentially right there is that, you know, he's like, you're destroying countries. I mean, right? We think about that here as Americans speaking in the United States, but as he's a German politician and a doctor saying that we're destroying our country, we're destroying this and that. Like, we have to realize this is all over the place. This is bigger than what we think it is. It always has been. Here's part two of this.
Und an dieser Stelle, also Sie können noch nicht mal die Maßnahmen, Mundschutz, Abstand halten, Quarantäne, Lockdown noch nicht einmal begründen. In einer Anfrage, die ich gestellt habe, heißt es, die Überprüfung der nicht pharmakologischen Maßnahmen wird nicht dokumentiert. Demnach existieren keine Verwaltungsvorgänge bzw. Aktenzeichen über die Ergebnisse. Eine absolute
What he's saying is the same thing we're seeing in the United States and everywhere else, right? There is no actual documentation that backs up that we know what they're claiming these things do, are that they're doing that, right? That we know that lockdown is reducing cases. In fact, the science is proving otherwise. That we know that masks are reducing this. Again, the science is proving otherwise. Right? There's no, and what he's saying is that we don't have any files or any documentation that proves that what we're doing is actually the right thing or that we know it did this in the past. How come we can't have that conversation?
Eine Frechheit. Sie muten den Menschen Quarantäne zu und können noch nicht einmal nachweisen, warum sie das tun. Aber sie führen unser Land in ein Verderben. Und an dieser Stelle ist es höchste Zeit. Ja, bitte? Sie haben eine Frage? An dieser Stelle ist es höchste Zeit, nachdem es nicht mehr gelingt, der Bürger hier mit den Regeln des Rechtsstaates zum Recht zu kommen, ist die Bürgerpflicht zum Rechtsgehorsam durchbrochen und Artikel 20 Absatz 4 des Widerstands der Bürger wegen des Staatsstreiches.
Herr Dr. Fichtner, haben Sie mich gehört? Es ist höchste Zeit, dass Sie aufhören, weil die Redezeit lange abgelaufen ist. Jetzt ist unser.
Well, of course, they don't want him to keep talking. I mean, how often do they let people talk past their time? You know, but the point is, he's just calling on all the things we know. He's calling out all the same things. He's saying exactly what we have been talking about. That people have a right. And now they don't. Who knows whether this person has another agenda and that suddenly the truth aligns with what he's trying to accomplish. But it strikes me that somebody who would say these things in this moment is someone who's actually fighting for the truth. Who knows for sure? But I would argue someone like this, if they are, will probably find themselves shoved away in a corner somewhere by the next time we hear about things like this. It's very alarming, guys. Very is. Very much so, I should say. But getting into the vaccine discussion further, and this is to finish off with this last section, as probably just as long as the other parts. Vaccine side effects, as well as the concept of this experimentation. This has specifically to do with Pfizer's vaccine. But here is something that we just talked about, and this is going even further. And this is to start off with basically the side effects and what we're seeing, and then go into how they want you to think that that's not what's happening. But a woman who suffered convulsions, which we showed you, screened for permanent brain damage. The Louisiana woman who suffered uncontrollable convulsions, and by the way, which was called fake news, but it's not, was screened for permanent brain damage because of the metals in the vaccine. Isn't that interesting? Here's the video, just in case you guys didn't get to see it. Oh, wait, let me see. Maybe I didn't add it. Yeah, it looks like I didn't add it in here. Here, let me just do it real quick. You guys have seen this for the most part. Most of you have anyway. But just in case, it's an important one to watch because it's pretty, this is something, the why this was important to me, like what I felt when I saw this is this could be your mom. right? This could be your mom that is struggling with this, and it just pained my heart, like it just killed me to see this. And now she's possibly a brain damage. Why? Because she was convinced that this was the right thing to do. Let me have to adjust the image. Hold on one sec. There we go. Hard to watch, you know, and this is happening all over the world right now. And yet all they can do is pretend like it's not happening. Here is somebody saying, and this is in regard to this next article, but her husband has been asked to pick up extra shifts because the two fellow ICU doctors in the two in two different hospitals have gotten sick after the COVID vaccine. You know how many times we're seeing a lot of this right now. As much as they keep screaming how it's not possible, I'm beginning to wonder that. Because we're seeing a lot of people who are actually not like getting it eventually, but literally getting sick right after this. Now, that could actually just be the side effects of the vaccine that are being called COVID-19. That's something we should consider. And that they're getting a test that has false positives and is here's not guaranteed to say you've got COVID-19. But recognize these are doctors at different hospitals all after getting this. But here's the story she's linking to. California pauses the use of Moderna vaccine. Why? Because of the allergic reactions. So it's not hypothetical. Moderna has now paused this batch. They won't pause the whole thing, right? Who cares? We haven't proven this anything yet, but we'll stop this one batch. And we're going to pretend like it's just that one batch of the larger vaccine. Think about how alarming that is. That we're going to pretend like it's just this one batch. And why? Did you make that batch differently? So then what you're saying is that you could have done something wrong to that one batch. Doesn't that then make all of them suspect? Well, yeah. Well, see, they don't want you to think, don't worry, it's this one over here. We're solving it. It's all still good. Just like in Norway or any of these places where they're saying we had all these people die and they go, don't worry. We'll still keep the vaccines going though. While we investigate. That's just incredible to me. Moderna apparently, quote, does not know how many doses went into arms. That's a quote. In California after this adverse vax reaction cluster. But it says in their update here, Moderna acknowledges receiving a report from California Department of Public Health that several individuals at one vaccination center in San Diego were treated for possible allergic reactions after vaccination from one lot of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, except for the fact that that's not true, though. In this one case, it might be. But we've already shown you at least 10 different examples of people having this exact kind of reaction after Moderna's vaccine, as well as Pfizer. But they want to go, well, we don't know for sure, and then just kick it off to the side like that's not one. Well, you didn't say it wasn't. You said you weren't sure. And then we never talk about it again and act like we haven't proven anything. I think we see where this is going. It says the company is fully cooperating with the California Department of Public Health in investigating these reported adverse events, consistent with a statement from the California Department of Public Health. It says Moderna confirmed that a total of 1,272,200 doses were produced in the batch that they're talking about. Right? So just that one little batch, that's 1.2 million, almost 1.3 doses, with nearly a million doses already distributed to approximately 1,700 vaccination sites in 37 states. So even if this is just one batch, are we going to pretend like they're pausing all of this all across the country in 37 states? I'd like to see evidence of that. Well, Moderna said it does not know how many doses may have ended up in arms of people, which is staggering to me. How do you not know that? First of all, we have to understand that we've been told that there is actually very, very, very specific records that are kept about who got what, which batch, when, and what location, but we don't ever get to see that. I've talked about this in the past. People, this is interesting. So I think it's very disingenuous to pretend like they don't know. Obviously, that's for a reason, I would argue. But if they don't know how many got in whose arms, how are they stopping this? How are they slowing it down? How are they shutting it down? What about the people in the UK that were being told that they could get one versus the other? Or mix them? Or half doses? I mean, there's so many variables now that this is pathetic. While Moderna said it does not know how many doses, it did report that the lot was shipped between January 4th and January 8th. And thus, it expects that a significant portion of the distribution doses have already been used. So you're screwed is the point. Sorry, we already pumped you full of the thing we're not sure is safe. Sorry about that. So here is a good reason to not take their word for it the next time. When they go, don't worry, you're totally safe. And then they go, whoops, we did something wrong. Sorry, but everyone else is still safe. Are they though? What if you make another mistake? What if you're wrong? What if you're lying and caught lying like you have many times before this? Here's another good example. As Sondra Whedon points out, this is horrible. I mean, this is really disgusting. Here's the CDC saying this. Despite Pfizer, the company, saying you should not take this vaccine if you're pregnant. Pregnant, it says, question, well, you may discuss COVID-19 vaccines with your doctor, but it's not required, though. What? While studies have not yet been done. That's the end of the conversation, guys. Are we really pretending like the FDA and the CDC, the groups that have failed to even pretend to consider cannabis for 30 years because after all the studies that have shown, but now we're studies have not even been done, not even tried to be done, to be completed, and yet we're saying it's okay to take it though. You won't even let people take things off label unless, of course, it works for your agenda. But here we haven't even studied it, but it's okay though, because we know vaccine's safe no matter what. Experts believe mRNA vaccines like COVID-19 vaccines are unlikely to pose a risk. Oh, so they're guessing. Oh, that's good. So the CDC likes to guess. So let's keep trusting them then. This isn't a joke, guys. They're openly guessing. They're saying, yeah, you know, they might not cause it. So go ahead and do it. If you want to, though, it's on you. It's your fault. But it says, have no mRNA COVID vaccines been tested on pregnant women? Experts believe they're safe. Same thing that I'm pointing out. No requirement to discuss COVID vaccine to the doctor. But as somebody points out below, don't worry. They're being tested right now on you is the point. Pregnant woman who takes COVID vaccine jab has stillborn. And yes, that is true. But of course, this is on VAERS, so they'll pretend like it can't be verified, which is what they do with everything that's reported to VAERS. They say, well, she called it in, so she could be wrong. She could be lying. She could be deceiving us. Who knows? We'll look into it, though, and never get back to you. That's what every single thing like this happens. But this has been reported. But it won't stop, and they'll keep saying, go ahead. Yeah, just do it. You're pregnant. Doesn't matter. We don't know for sure, but go ahead and take it anyway, because vaccines. Meanwhile, thousands of Israelis test positive for COVID-19 despite receiving the vaccine. Continually. Now, you could argue this is getting it anyway, which very clearly then shows you that this does not have any effect on transmission, which is the point. Or you could begin to wonder whether this is causing it to some degree. Very fair question. But nonetheless, it continues. Every reason possible to not take this thing, including that the Helsinki Committee is now declaring that Pfizer is performing an unauthorized human experiment in Israel. A huge story that's getting just about zero coverage in the mainstream media, if not less. Nothing. Maybe they're just don't care. Don't care about this very important statement being made by a group that's very job is to make these kind of announcements. Committee in charge of supervising human trials expected to state vaccine campaign is clinical study and needed pre-approval. I don't even know why this is contentious. Of course this is. Of course it's a clinical study. We are in a study right now. It's by every definition of the word. Is reporting that the Helsinki Committee for Human Rights is expected to announce that Pfizer is conducting unauthorized human experiments in Israel. Quote, reading the contract signed between the Israeli government and Pfizer, it is clear, unequivocal and unambiguous that this is a clinical study for all intents and purposes, and thus it needed to be approved by the Helsinki Committee. So all they want is their approval. They want to be given their nod. But here's what's interesting is they're calling out something that we should recognize, that they're saying that based on what's happening, which is the same thing happening in this country, that it is unequivocal, unambiguous, that it is a clinical study. Clear, they say. It's clear. Which means it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's unequivocal. So that means we're in a study right now. Not a vaccine distribution effort. We are currently in a study. And by the way, don't forget, this group, is their job is to discuss and human experiments. They would know is the point. They're the experts on the matter. So when they're pointing and saying, that's a study, you're doing human experiments, so too are the people in this country. It goes on to say, they added that that's what will be written in the committee's opinion. Quote, there's nothing wrong with clinical trials. On the contrary, but clinical trials, human trials, must get committee approval. And of course, from the people on whom the trial is being conducted while giving the right to refuse to be part of the trial. These are very basic matters. Now, the point is that people don't realize they're in a trial. So if these people were told, we're testing this on you, they probably wouldn't be so quick to take it. And that's why they lied. That's why they hid this fact. And that's why they're actively flat out saying the opposite in this country. No, you're not in a trial. This wasn't a rushed vaccine, Operation Warp Speed. No, it was just, we just spent lots of money to do it quickly. But it wasn't rushed, though. Right? Just don't even think about it. As well, aside from the fact that Tal Zaks from Moderna openly stated that they didn't give him enough money to do transmission studies and continue that way. He needed more money to do it, and they didn't pay him. So your government actively decided not to find out or even try to make it stop transmission. But at the same time, we put lots of money into it in order to get it out properly and quickly. But yeah, as always, their lies will contradict each other because they lie about everything. It's not hard to see, guys. But a human trial. A human experimentation. That's a huge deal. I'll follow up on this as it goes forward. It's happening as we speak, right? This is happening. But it's important to realize that this is easily related to what's going on in this country and really everywhere else in the world, for that matter. It's coming out left and right, guys. It's just about whether or not you're willing to acknowledge it. Oh, and by the way, after all that, all the terrible things could happen. Well, look, we're just going to give you money. This supermarket chain saying, we'll just give you 4 hours of pay if you get the coronavirus vaccine, as somebody puts down here. So what's like $25? So what do we got now? Free beer at a bar, you get the vaccine. We got Waffle House offering free waffles and you get a vaccine. We've got DC locations, maybe DC or maybe California, offering free marijuana if you get a vaccine. Yeah, clearly it's the most important vaccine that's going to help save everybody, and we all know it, right? That's why they wanted to bribe us. Everybody's aware of what this is, and they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that we all see it. That means that we realize we're the majority. They don't want that. But they'll bribe you. Bribe you in every way they can. But they're also going to do other things that will force you to do it, and we'll get to that in a minute. But here is what Norway is saying. They're denying a direct link, and this is how they're playing the word games. There's an obvious link between this. They took the vaccine, they died right away. That's a link, period. No matter how you want to spin that, that's one of the most important links, in fact. But they're saying there's no direct link. So we can't prove that's what it was. There's no other discernible explanation, but it could have been anything. That's very scientific, sure. But between the deaths of the 33 elderly people and the Pfizer COVID vaccine, this is as there's multiple locations that are saying if you're sick and elderly, you shouldn't take this thing because it's dangerous. But there's no link here, though, guys. It says 33 people who died after getting the COVID vaccine in Norway were all over 75, seriously ill, and there's no evidence of a direct link, they say, between both. So they all just happened to die from their ills at the same time after all getting the same thing. It's just painful. And here's WHO following up saying, well, you know what? We're not even aware of any deaths linked to the Pfizer vaccine. See, they know they're working the game with the words and everything. So the point is they're well aware of all the deaths that we're hearing about. But to them, they're not linked because we haven't proven that. But just how insulting it is, how they can now, they'll wait for the absolute most definitive thing possible to make a connection between the death and the vaccine, but they'll make a link between a death and COVID-19 just by having a funny feeling that day. It doesn't even matter. It's like, well, he looks kind of funny. Does his toe hurt? Okay, well, he's got COVID, right? That doesn't even matter. And that's not my opinion. I'm going to go into that next. Right from the horse's mouth, as they say, saying, here's what we do and how we categorize deaths. But as I say that on my show, I'm going to get censored for it. Because we live in the COVID clown world. It says, we have not observed any deaths actually with any of the vaccines that are being used at the moment. Don't you love how they phrase, that's what that word is. That's a bad sentence. But they added it because of course they've observed deaths. Because that sentence, if you were to say, I haven't observed deaths with the vaccines, that does not mean necessarily the vaccine caused it. That's why he was like, actually with the vaccines. It's just badly formed, but it's a quote. That's why he was saying it, and he was being caught off guard probably. But what he's saying is that they haven't observed any deaths, and that's a flagrant lie. And if there was any semblance of honesty in the mainstream media, everybody would call this out. There's all kinds of deaths being investigated, and here's the WHO lying about why that there's nothing going on because they don't want vaccine hesitancy. So yet again, they're willing to hide the truth from you, make sure that you don't get scared of vaccines, even if they're scary and dangerous. It says, we have seen some cases of what we call an anaphylactic reaction, but wait a minute, didn't they claim that even that wasn't connected, that we haven't proven that that's connected? Yes, they did. So why is that one suddenly okay to say? Well, because the deaths are suddenly getting more attention. So suddenly it's just deemed okay and acceptable to go, well, anaphylaxis is happening, but not that though. But back when it was nothing versus anaphylaxis, it was nothing. Anaphylactic shock, no, we haven't proven that yet. It's probably nothing. And the deaths start rolling out. Oh, well, anaphylaxis is kind of happening, but not deaths though. It's kind of the same analogy as being wanting to be incompetent instead of criminal. It says, because some people have already a predisposition and have a history of having severe allergies. So even then he kind of backtreads it and be like, well, because they have history. No, it's because this vaccine is causing adverse reactions and immunodisorders and all kinds of neurological. I mean, this is crazy. And it's all being shown. And by the way, it's what was called out by people like James Lionweiler, people like RFK Jr., people like, there was one other I was going to say, and I'm blanking on his name, but a lot of people that have been pointing this out based on previous vaccines, previous coronavirus attempts by groups like Moderna, like in regard to SARS and MERS and groups that have tried to create these things and failed and hurt people. We've seen these reactions with pathogenic priming and antibody-dependent enhancement. We've seen all these things. But who cares, because we can't prove it. But we'll quickly jump on all the things for COVID-19. But again, before we jump onto that, as they're screaming about how you should trust the science and the vaccine and all this thing, let's not forget how many times our government has told us things were totally safe and force us to do them, in fact, and then later they turn out to be wrong. And that's not even to get into whether or not they did it on purpose. DDT, cigarettes, this was heroin for cough colds or whatever. Here's asbestos, protect the buildings from your farm. Right? There's so many times. I mean, Teflon's a good one. Right, Teflon with DuPont is a horrible example of how DuPont, and by the way, DuPont has had so many examples like that, where they not only lie, but they actively cover up that they're hurting people and keep doing it. And yet, they're still as prominent as ever. Why? How does that possibly make sense? But coming off the idea of this discussion, no linked deaths whatsoever. Here, I just wanted to share this. Pam shared this in a chat, in a comment. And she says, and this, I've said something similar to this in the past, elderly people with comorbidities who die after receiving the COVID shot, they were going to die anyway. Elderly people with comorbidities who die with COVID. This is the most deadly virus we've ever seen. You must all be afraid. That is called a double standard. You don't get to do one and not the other, right? If you're going to err on the side of caution, that applies to anything where you should be cautious, not just on one thing and not the other. But when it comes to COVID-19, anything even remotely ties it, and even hypothetically, they go, well, we'll make it a COVID death. But with the vaccine, doesn't matter. Unless we can prove it definitively, which I don't know how that will ever happen, won't be deemed a death. Double standard. Now, here is a video, a couple minutes long. I want you to read the subtitles as well. Some of them are subtitles, some are from the United States, and listen to what they're saying. This is them talking about how they categorize death cases. Every single one of these countries make it clear that they will make it a death even if it happens and you cannot claim that it's COVID. So with this being stated by, I think there's five countries in this video, how are we still pretending that this is not inflating the numbers? I'll tell you, because we're being deceived. That should be quite clear by now.
Le système de surveillance et donc la façon dont nous comptons le nombre de décès en Belgique a pour objectif de nous donner la meilleure vue sur la situation et de bien comprendre les défis auxquels nous faisons face. Nous comptabilisons en Belgique à la fois les décès qui ont eu lieu, qui ont été confirmés.
So it says deaths that were confirmed with a test, PCR with a false positive, and deaths with a suspected COVID infection. Those are both counted.
Par un test de laboratoire et les décès suspectés d'infection à Covid. Nous comptons en Belgique à la fois les décès qui ont eu lieu dans le réseau hospitalier,
in the hospital, in the community,
dans la communauté, particulièrement dans les maisons de repos,
in the care homes.
Ces éléments-là peuvent nous distinguer par rapport à d'autres pays.
So the first one's important. We're just saying basically that we categorize even a hypothetical, like somebody we suspect has it, we count that as a death. That should be bombshell, right? The point is you cannot use these, you can err on the side of caution, but you can't do so and then use them to restrict people's rights. You can't do that anyway. But the point is that they know that they're bloating this. And then turn around and point to that same number and go, oh my God, we're all in danger. But you just told us that you're doing it hypothetically. That you're saying, well, they might have had it. We don't know for sure.
Con la que estamos trabajando en España relativa a definición de caso de coronavirus es una de las definiciones de caso de las más exigentes y rigurosas que hay en Europa, con la que hemos venido trabajando desde el principio, que como ustedes, todos ustedes saben, comporta que toda aquella persona que ha sido diagnosticada positivamente.
Every person that was positively diagnosed with the coronavirus and dies. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter what they also had, doesn't matter if the test was a false positive. That is computed as a person deceased of coronavirus. There you go. Every one of them are like this.
Del virus, del coronavirus, y fallece. Es una persona computada como un fallecido por coronavirus. Insisto, es una de las definiciones más exigentes y más rigurosas de las que hay.
And see, they even sell it as like, this is the best one. Like, we're being extra safe just for you. It's like, yeah, and then you turn around and put me in my home and make me wear a mask and you know, give my child health problems. Like, it's ridiculous that this is like almost something they're bragging about.
En toda Europa. A raíz de algunas informaciones aparecidas, he tenido ocasión de conversar con el consejero de Salud de Castilla-La Mancha para constatar que los datos que esta comunidad autónoma, como todas las demás, hacen llegar al gobierno de España son conformes con esta definición de caso y son, por tanto, correctas, en el sentido de que, insisto, toda persona que ha sido diagnosticada positivamente de coronavirus y fallece es computada. De acuerdo con nuestra definición.
Same, making the same point. Accordingly with our case definition. So he's basically just saying no matter what. So because our case definition, that is recorded as a COVID death.
Como un fallecido por coronavirus.
Everybody who has had the diagnosis of COVID-19 is entered into a big national database with a personal identifier. And then we regularly check that database and we can cross-reference that to our death registers. So anybody with a diagnosis of COVID-19 and that appears in the death database within 30 days is then entered in as a case of COVID-19 death in Sweden.
That's crazy, though. See, this was one of the biggest examples, right? So somebody could be tested positive and die in a motorcycle accident. And that's not a joke. That happened. And the doctor even defended it and said, well, we don't know that didn't cause it. How would that guy even have a job? A doctor or a scientist would never make such a flimsy claim unless they're bad at their job, and that's the point. This is a guaranteed way to pad the numbers. And in some cases, people around this agenda may actually believe they're doing it to keep everybody safe. That's the point, is that not everyone's always involved. Plenty of people are just order followers. I mean, we've been conditioned to be like this.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it. And the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that.
Of course they are. Now, again, you could argue that that makes sense if all you're trying to do is be extra cautious. But the moment you transition into using that same data to make people do things, I don't know why that was. I mean, where were the other people in the government? Well, there you go. They either were part of this agenda or they shouldn't be in those positions, because this should have been an immediate objection. Wait a minute. First of all, isn't that unconstitutional to do things? Yep, yes, it is. So that should have been an end right there if we were actually in some kind of a situation where people cared about the constitutional rights. But on top of that, you're using something that is knowingly deceptive. You don't know for sure whether that's some... And on top of that, you're assuming that COVID caused the kidney or heart failure. Maybe they had it from before. Or maybe they had it and it was undiagnosed. I mean, there's 1,000 possibilities, but yet they're erring on the side of higher numbers. And I clearly think that's intentional.
As a COVID-19 death.
I don't have that information at my disposal at this time. I know we have had.
Oh, and by the way, don't forget that Dr. Birx is one of the ones that was, you know, sanctimoniously pleading with you to not risk everyone's lives and do this and don't do that. And then she went out and did that and did this, right? Went out and broke the lockdown and did what she wanted while you were stuck and then quit because embarrassed. I don't know. Oh, but people shouldn't just be able to quit their job when they, I mean, that's, I'm not arguing that that's a crime, because it's not a crime, because it shouldn't be a crime for us. It's not a crime for her, but there should be some level of accountability there. You don't just get to go, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I tripped over my shoes and fell into my farmhouse. That's just ridiculous.
People of all age groups die. I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because that's one of the most obvious, honest answers. And I think that was coming from a place where she knew that was not really right. And I mean, that's a guess, but the way she was talking about it was very forward. And she said, look what she said. They don't even have to die from it. Like, they can, not only that, they can die verifiably from some totally or unrelated thing. Just simply die from old age. And yet they'll still mark it as COVID-19 because they had it. That's not okay. That cannot be okay. Especially not in a situation where that's being used to restrict your rights. But they don't care about that. They will continue to use that and lie to you and push their narrative because it works. Unless we do something about it. Unless we stop it. Everything we just showed you is just a small grouping of examples of all across the world, of all of them telling you that they're gay. I mean, look, add that on top of everything else. Add that on top of the false positive PCR test. Add that on top of what we're looking at right now. The idea that they're very clearly combining pneumonia, flu, and COVID-19 deaths and claiming that's all COVID-19 deaths. That's why there's no flu all of a sudden. Look, it just disappeared. What do you know? And that's while they're telling us that it's being combined. And it's just insulting. And as just Peter Hitchens points out, is it possible that influenza, pneumonia are in fact living openly among us, but under some assumed names? Yes. Yeah, we'll just jump right through. Yes, it is. And they are lying to us. Couldn't be more clear. Top of that, this isn't going back to the point of what she was just saying. 90%. And actually, funny enough, I believe she was from Illinois. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. 90% of Illinois COVID victims were over 60, half of them from long care facilities. So add this to your numbers, to what we just talked about, right? If 90% of the people that were being told are dying are over 60, and half of them are from long care homes, that means that if you suddenly remove the elderly who potentially have comorbidities and dying anyway, right? That, not to say all of them, that there are some in that category that they're then deeming COVID, even though they were just dying anyway, as well as just all any long-term homes, you remove that number, that's non-existent. That's not how this would be if this is what they were telling us it is. So this, and then you need to consider this also is the case in New York City and pretty much every other place that we can see this, that the vast majority are over 60, in some places over 70, and usually more than half of them are coming from places just like this. And yet we're arguing that everybody's in danger. Now, that's why when you actually realize that outside of nursing homes and under 70, your death rate is like 0.05%. But then, of course, when you add in all the, and you average it out, now we're in danger because you're making this happen. We saw that in New York with the ventilators and the way they're intubating these people. They're killing them. And we're still doing it, apparently. But you're all in danger, though. Don't worry. Just keep being fearful because the vaccine, it won't change anything. It's going to bring you back to normal. Apparently that logic is still working for some people. But here is an even bigger point in regard to the excess death. This is from 2018. This is from the British Medical Journal. Now, you may remember this. I'm going to show you next again. This is from 2011 from the WHO, pointing out everything we're saying, but in regard to H1N1. The WHO is saying this, which is why I argue those people are no longer with the WHO and new people are in their place that are willing to toe the line, as usual. But this is from 2018. And guess what they're calling out? They're calling out the exaggeration of mortality in regard to flu and how it can be abused. It's amazing that we can have these discussions where they're pointing out exactly what we're saying today, and yet we'll point it out today, and they go, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. But wait a minute. They were just talking about this 2 years. Crazy! Excess deaths. Government commission review. 2018. Government exaggerates flu mortality again. Just so we understand, that's a statement, not a question. Then it asks, why cannot the public be trusted with the truth? I don't know why they put cannot instead of can't. Why can't the public be trusted with the truth? That is something that we have all known. And yet now it's becoming conspiracy theory just because the other part of the grouping of the people out there, as I called after 2016, the awakening of the dumb sleeping giant, or all these people out there that had never even considered politics in their life are suddenly the most politically active people of all time, which are now being radicalized, I argue. But the point is, we all see this, and the people right now that are being charged up with the new scientism thing because they're just now waking up to this or whatever are the ones screaming that, wait, that's not true. It's never been the case. In their mind, never been the case because they never looked past 2019. It's everywhere. Every example that we're saying is all right there for us, and we've already talked about these things. That's why James Corbett can be censored from 9 years ago because he called this whole thing out 9 years ago. If only you were paying attention then. And I'm not speaking to the chat. I'm speaking to whoever it is that's just surveying the show today, not sure about whether they should be here. I was perturbed and slightly astonished last week to see last winter's excess mortality. This is 2018. Being largely attributed to the bad flu season, though it is well established that this was not the case. The main culprit being, on this occasion, apparently, the Office for National Statistics, ONS. Now, this is important because what they're saying is not a possibility, but that we know this wasn't the case. And they're doing this because they're confused about why this would be happening and why people aren't calling it out. Now, it says, so the government are now apparently not only blaming fluctuations in winter mortality on flu, but all excess winter mortality on flu. Does that sound familiar? To the tune of more than 50,000 deaths. The point is, what you should be hearing right now is that this is a shtick that they've worked out well and that they're using again. The reality is that Public Health England had already published the flu mortality figures for the season in May. And the point, On this basis, the number of deaths in England and Wales in the admittedly exceptionally bad year would have been only in the region of 335 to 340 deaths. And the ONS seems to have exaggerated the risk to the public in the region of 150 times that. That's a fact. The House of Commons Science and Technology Committee have been complaining about low flu vaccine uptake. Ah, profit motive. But we do not even have any information about the vaccination status of the people who died. So we don't even know. That's the point. We don't even know if they died and they got the flu vaccine. But they don't care because it's about a means to an end. The whole thing is meant to drive flu vaccinations. There are serious ethical issues both for medicine and government here, which have yet to be addressed. And they never will be, guys, because this is what they're using now. unless we do something about it. What this is saying, the British Medical Journal is pointing out, is that they lied to them, flat out lied. They increased the amount of deaths by 150 times dishonestly. It was a lie. And they did so to drive, what I would argue, flu vaccinations. And that's what happened. I just think that's incredible. This is documented in there, and we can't consider that that's happening now. The idea, as it says, that the government blamed fluctuations in winter mortality on the flu and all excess flu mortality to the tune of 50,000 deaths. It's the same game they're running now. And more to the point, for those that haven't seen this, this may knock you out of your seat because it's so incredible that this is coming from the WHO. Bulletin on World Health Organization, 2011. Health is more than influenza. The repeated pandemic scares caused by the avian H5N1 and a new H1N1, which, by the way, we know was they call it the pandemic that wasn't, or a fake pandemic as well. The scares caused by those two things. Let me read it again. The repeated pandemic health scares caused by an avian H5N1 and a new human influenza virus, H1N1, are part of the culture of fear. Please don't forget, this is the WHO writing this. Worst case thinking replaced balanced risk assessment. Right? This is 2011, so 10 years ago. Worst case thinking is motivated by the belief that the danger we face is so overwhelmingly catastrophic that we must act immediately rather than wait for information. We need a preemptive strike. Sort of sounds like the people you would think who are driving this. The precautionary stocking of largely useless antivirals, this is important, and the irrational vaccination policies against an unusually benign H1N1 virus wasted many billions of euros and eroded the trust of the public health in officials. Yep. And all they did was fire these people and get new ones. The pandemic policy was never informed by evidence, but by fear of worst case scenarios. Tell me this isn't staggering. In both pandemics of fear, the exaggerated claims of a severe public health threat stemmed primarily from disease advocacy by influenza experts, just like today. In the highly competitive market of health governance, the struggle for attention, budgets, and grants is fierce, even more so today. The pharmaceutical industry and the media only reacted to this welcome boon, just like today. We therefore need fewer, not more, pandemic preparedness plans or definitions. So this is why I know that these people were gotten rid of. Because right now, so at this point in 2011, he's saying we need less, not more, pandemic preparedness plans. Guess what happened? You know what happened. We have more, way more pandemic preparedness plans. Bill Gates dropping them left and right. Everyone's doing pandemic 201, SPARS, pandemic left. I mean, that's the point. That's what happened. They did the opposite of what he called for, or what they called for, right? There's numerous people involved in this. The point is they called for this, didn't happen. They made more of it. He says vertical influenza planning in the face of speculative catastrophes is a recipe for repeated waste of resources and health scares induced by influenza experts with vested interest in exaggeration. God darn it. That's exactly what's happening. Speculation of catastrophes. That's what they're already doing going forward. Well, we don't know the next pandemic. Pandemic 2, right? We keep hearing about it. Is a recipe for repeated waste of resources, health scares induced by influenza experts with vested interest in exaggeration. This is the WHO, for crying out loud. Why am I saying this now? Am I a conspiracy theorist? There is no reason for expecting any upcoming pandemic to be worse than the mild ones of 1957 or 1968. No reason for striking preemptively. No reason for believing that a proportional and balanced response would risk lives. Yeah, we all see why they don't want this to be here or why they don't want these people to be telling you this. But it says disease experts wish to capture public attention and sway resources allocation decisions in favor of the disease of their interest. Exactly. It is a market. This is not about helping you. These people are in a business. Support from disease experts. And by the way, it's funny, even saying that, there's probably people watching this going, oh, you crazy guy. The WHO is saying this. So either you're supposed to not contradict what the WHO is saying, or you can call me a conspiracy theorist out there. You can't pick both. The point is you can, actually. But my point is I'm playing into what they're thinking, the way they see the world, right? They're right there thinking, oh, these are crazy guys, but they're the ones screaming, you can't challenge WHO. So, well, that's called cognitive dissonance. Get used to it. We have to see that these disease experts that they're trotting out and saying masks work like crazy and this does this and this does that, is saying what the narrative is, are obviously, as they say, they wish to capture public attention and sway resource allocation in favor of their interest of disease. Obviously, some from disease experts is crucial in developing opinion, scholarly advice, and evidence to a team of independent general scientists. They're basically just saying, of course, we need people like this to listen to, talk to, but this team should independently propose decisions to policymakers and be held accountable for them. Hello, Neil Ferguson. Are you accountable? No, never. He just continues to put out what he thinks and never held accountable for how catastrophically wrong, it's obvious that this has been being used to lead people in a very clear direction. It says the key to responsible policymaking is not bureaucracy, but accountability and independence from interest groups, which is the opposite direction we're going today. Ever since this point, we've gotten more invested with interest groups, private, public, partnerships, and all that. We are just it's incestuous. Decisions must be based on adaptive responses to emerging problems, not on definitions. Yeah, I guess. So basically, everything these people wrote about happens now. Every single thing they wrote about is not only the same, but worse. So it shows you that they didn't care at all what these people said. Not only did they not care, I argue they saw this and was like, oh, well, this guy knows what's up. We need to get them the hell out of the way. I mean, I'm speaking hypothetically. But the point is, it's so incredible to see that this can be stated so unequivocally, and yet we can't even talk about this today. Meanwhile, to finish up here, four nurses in a Kansas country health department refused to give out COVID-19 vaccines. All four nurses working in health department of the Coffee County in Kansas said they wouldn't give people the COVID vaccine. And this is, of course, how Business Insider decides to frame it, a sign of how misinformation about the shots is spreading even among health professionals. So let me ask you this, guys, are they still heroes? Are they still heroes, even though they're spreading, as you would say, misinformation? Oh, so they're not. So are they only heroes based on what they believe, or are they heroes because of their job? I would like to believe. I mean, they're screaming that it's because they're heroes because they're putting themselves in risk. Well, so are these people. But because you don't agree with them, suddenly they're not heroes anymore. The point, guys, is it's not about what their job is. It's about, like, you could be a police officer or anything, and you'll be called a hero one day because of something. The next day, you're not. Right? These people, it's not about the fact that they're doing something that puts them at risk. It's about the fact that we want to scream that you can't counter this narrative that these people are the next hero because it's a biosecurity state. It's the same way they framed the military before. This is the new bulletless war. But think about how dumb it is that they're claiming that's signs of how they spread misinformation. Why? Because they don't want to give the vaccine because they're recognizing the uncertainty, which is all they're saying. He says, quote, my staff is not comfortable with that. It's a new technology we've never seen before. That's it. What a conspiracy theory. No, that's completely factual. It says mRNA vaccines, like those being distributed now for the coronavirus, have been studied since the 1990s. Well, that's true, but they failed over and over, and they've hurt people over and over, and suddenly they all succeed simultaneously with 95% of it. Yeah, right. Obviously, that's not true. We can see what's happening. But they will say that to make you think, oh, well, it's been around forever. Nope. They've never successfully done one ever. This is the first time. So that's a very disingenuous statement, Business Insider. And I would argue that's, you know, so I'm over here saying, hey, take vitamin C. Oh, shut them down. But these people can tell you that this thing is totally normal, even though the evidence shows otherwise, and they're okay. See, you're allowed to give your opinion in the right side. That's always how this is. You can go out and talk about how vitamin D or vitamin C are not what you should do. They'll happily use that. But if you come out and say you should be taking something like that, well, you'll be censored. Even though it's obvious there's evidence for it. Now it says, Payer said that she and other nurses in the department were uncomfortable with the vaccines and unsure of their safety, citing inaccurate information about the shots, they said. Oh, what information? Oh, we're not going to get into that though. Why? Because we'd be able to quickly tell that it actually wasn't inaccurate and actually very clearly based on what's really going on. But they won't show it to you. They'll just tell you that it was uncertain, tell you that it was inaccurate, tell you that they're conspiracy theorists. That is what we're talking about. It's about trusting the experts. They want you to trust that they know what they did was false. That's not journalism. She told the board that the health department would hire outside nurses who were willing to distribute the vaccine. So this doesn't even matter. They said, look, we'll get people to do it. We just don't want to do it. But they had to make a big deal about it because they need you to know that they're bad. They're morally bad and they should be shame, right? You're bad for not doing what you're told. The vaccines were rushed. Or excuse me, this is what's funny. It says the vaccines weren't rushed. It's Operation Warp Speed. Trump has repeatedly stated, and by the way, it's a no-brainer. This has been done faster than anything like this has ever been done before. We skipped multiple situations. We skipped the animal trials, which are being done at, you know, after the fact, whatever, as I understand. But we're talking about skipping multiple situations here, bunching these things together, and then literally doing it in a way that is faster than it's ever been done before, and we're still testing it now. But yeah, it wasn't rushed, though. They say countries and organizations invested heavily in all stages. Oh, okay, so we put lots of money in lots of stages to save time, but it wasn't rushed, though. This is semantics. Like, they're being so dishonest right here, on top of the fact that it, in every sense of the word, was rushed. That was the point. But because they don't want you to think that means it might be unsafe, they're lying to you for their truth. That's the point. But remember, the Talzax just had told us previously that they didn't give them enough money to find out, to make sure that transmission would be affected. So they didn't apparently put enough money into it. But that works, as I said before, I made that point a moment ago. It's deceptive, and they will always do that. Scientists were also able to build on previous works. Oh, you mean like the MERS and SARS ones that hurt people, that actually killed children? Yeah, those ones. I'm sure glad we're building on those. Data on both vaccines was scrutinized by the FDA before urgency. I love this. So remember, it wasn't rushed. It wasn't rushed. But the FDA administered the emergency use authorization for the injections. But it wasn't rushed, though. But we issued an emergency use authorization. They must think we're that stupid. Like, it's so embarrassing how shamelessly Business Insider, all of them are pandering to the oligarchy. That's what they are, though. It says County Medical Officer Dr. Jeff Sawyer refuted Payer's misinformation the next morning. He said both of these vaccines were very well studied, according to the to this guy. Very well studied? I mean, it's the very clear information coming directly from Pfizer and Moderna show you that they skipped multiple parts, that they're bunching this together, that they're not doing what they're supposed to. And the real world examples are showing us the side effects of exactly that. But listen to this guy. Both, they were studied well. So don't listen to any concerns these actual medical professionals have. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment said the data demonstrate that the known and potential benefits of this vaccine outweigh the known and potential harms. Why? Because the known bad sides are being ignored. We can't prove it, so it doesn't count. But of course, if you have the sniffles and you trip and crack your head open, but you had a PCR test, it's a COVID-19 death. Period. That makes sense, right? Well, here's 13,000 New York nursing home residents and nearly half of the staff involved declining the vaccine, right? But we're all just crazy, though. Like, I love how they're trying to frame it as, well, it's just these fringy, weird conspiracy theorists. I can't believe they're still holding on to that narrative. There's so many PhDs and experts and doctors and medical professionals and nurses and Nobel laureates and the entire government health departments. I mean, everywhere they're screaming about everything we're saying here. The guy from Germany showing you this is what he, but yet they still hold on to the fringe conspiracy theory because that's all they have. That's what it looks like when you actually don't have an argument. And even despite all the bad things we're seeing, they're still going to drive this forward. A barrage of new countries and airliners to adopt vaccine passports. You know, that fake news thing that won't happen because we're crazy conspiracy theorists. Well, it's always been happening for 6 months now. It's being built right now, not for tests, for vaccine passports all over the world. Why? Because we're clearly not doing what they want us to do, because we see that this thing is very, very dangerous. Oh, I think I had something down here, maybe. No, guess not. But to finish up the last point here, last slide, I just thought this was an interesting point to finish up on. Poor countries and the COVID-19 vaccine. 70 poor countries will only be able to vaccinate 10% of their population in 2021, which, by the way, is probably a huge blessing, not even really in disguise. They should be doing jumping jacks. That's probably a great thing. But the point is, what about the whole equitable thing they were talking about? Oh, the equitable, we're going to make sure it's equitable for everybody. And then they give it aggressively to the rich people in rich countries. Right, totally. Equitable. I mean, look, again, to make sure you're clear on this, that I'm not arguing that this should be. My point is that even within their own narrative, they're screaming about equity, making it equitable. 70 poor countries won't even be able to vaccinate 10% until 2021. So clearly that's not the case. What they're doing is saying all of this as a narrative and then just aggressively trying to get you to inject it. That's what it really is. And I would argue, as Whitney's pointed out, there's definitely a eugenics kind of tint to this whole thing. So it doesn't surprise me at all that it's specifically in countries that they're aiming for and not these other countries across the world, but countries here, our countries, and trying to possibly get rid of portions of the population that are draining resources. Now, whether or not you think that's the case, that is what has happened. Clearly. Overly affecting minorities, overly affecting the elderly. I mean, it's exactly what eugenics group would make happen. Poor countries, 86% of the global population can only access 47% of the vaccines. At least 61% of the population won't access the vaccine until at least 2022. Again, that is a huge positive in my opinion. But the point is, within their narrative, they're trying to drive the idea that it's an equitable thing, when in reality, it's the opposite. And it's going to people like you, at all costs, bribing you, manipulating you, creating societal and economic pressure. Does that sound like the save all vaccine that will save everybody from something that, you know, I mean, I can't even joke about these anymore. Because as I'm saying it, I'm going like, it's fundamentally stupid that we can say this about a situation which all the data points to the opposite, that the death rate's too low, that it's not really affecting, it's below the flu in regard to people under 70. And even above that, it's a serious flu. We're talking about a obviously misrepresented situation where the test has an obviously high false positive, where they're combining things and making that the death total, where they're manipulating the death case definition in general. I mean, there's probably four or five other examples. It is obvious that every part of this is being gamed. And then within that, each one of those is in fact driving more problems. Lockdowns causing more problems, masks causing more problems, more illness, more issues every step of the way. And now here we are with the vaccines. I argue the vaccine side effects are being called COVID-19 and vice versa. I mean, it's all over the place. Hopefully you're just ready to pay attention and ready to continue to ask questions about everything, including what I'm talking about. Just be willing to challenge what you're being told. I mean, there's never been a more important time. But thank you all for being here, asking questions, thinking for yourself. Please get this information out there. Just notice I'm wearing my decentralized t-shirt. Make sure you check out the t-shirts down below if you want to help support this channel. Important time to think about that. With what's all happening, it's important time to think about decentralization in general. But thank you for being here, guys. Please spread the word. Help me get it out. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggles we bear. Beg you, listen, my claim. See the struggles we bear. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Hey,
the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see that it's together. That prefers to hear us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, don't wanna see us try. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset, a new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the FEMA campaigns are waiting. Don't know what I take them indoctrination. No re-education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite. Yes, it's time to fight. Revolution will be televised. In no time for go with one of I. Now each now waste no time. Chinese now get left behind.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away! Katie, don't take her away!
Stand for nothing, you fall for everything. It's the message.